Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight, and good to be with you. It is Wednesday night where we minister to everybody and don't leave anybody behind. That is, that want to minister. So, yeah, good to be with you tonight. All right, I hope you're all doing good. If you're not, we're going to be praying for you here in just a moment. So, be ready for that. Okay, all right, we're getting everything going on here. Glad to be with you. Have all kinds of things. People really have a lot of prayer requests and things going on. So please pray for our friends at PGN and all of our brothers and sisters. All right. Because God is good. He wants to reveal himself as the good God who understands and knows what you're going through. And he wants to know that, you know, he knows. He knows what's happening. He knows what's going on around you. And he's there to help you. And you never know what that's going to be. You never know what God's going to intervene in. You know, it's just truly amazing. Some of the testimonies we have had over the years, and even with just in the last couple of weeks, about how God has been moving. And, you know, like one night with the Daniel testimony, you guys heard about the Daniel testimony. I'm sure if you haven't, I'll tell you now. It's really cool because on a couple of Thursdays ago, we were praying over offerings, as we always do every Thursday. And got down to Daniel's offering. I prayed over Daniel's offering, which I always do. And all of a sudden, I heard the word, you know, there's suicide. I said, Daniel, I said, there's somebody around you that's contemplating suicide. And pray for them or something. I mean, and God's going to use you to win the victory or something like that. And you go back the last, you know, two Thursdays ago, you can go to the show and listen to it. But it's really interesting. And the very next day, that was on Thursday, Friday, Daniel didn't hear the word for a couple of days. On the next, very next day, this guy, this person, an ex-employee, started, writing text to him, suicidal text. And it was really amazing. The very next day, he had... I get all kinds of texts and start coming up. So Daniel, one of our friends in OPGN, the very next day, before he even heard the word, even knew the word was given, nobody told him, he didn't know about it. So he gets this text from this guy, an ex-employee, and from, I think, from another part of the state, if I'm understanding it correctly. And so he goes, you know, he gets a hold of the local police there, and, you know, trying to get some help for him, and got him some help, and the guy just really thanked him for it. You know, thank you for going to the trouble. You know, I didn't think anybody cared for him. He just lost his wife, and his father, his stepfather, had just passed away, and it's a really difficult time. And God knew the whole time, was telling Daniel, there's somebody around you going to commit suicide, or contemplating suicide. And so when he heard it, he texted me. I was out walking before the show one night. He said, Randy, you know, that word was 100% right on. I had an ex-employee and started telling the whole story. Oh, my gosh, that is amazing. You know, you just see the love of God in the prophetic realm. It's just so amazing. You never know how. You never know when. You never know what God's going to say. I don't know how long Daniel's been with us. I think over a year or so, something like that. And really, really cool. You know, that it doesn't really matter about anything other than God was showing that he cared about somebody and went out of his way to supernaturally reveal it, even though I didn't know the person. I don't even know. I've never even talked to Daniel. Daniel called into the show to tell us about the story, you know, what, last week, whenever it was. And, you know, that's the first time I ever talked to Daniel. I never even talked to him before. And so it was really cool, and how that, you know, God used him, and God was showing him that he I'm on your side. I'm watching over you. I'm with you. So you never know. And we have a lot of other testimonies, too, that things have gone on over the years. And different ways God has spoken. So never give up. Never give in. Hang in there. And don't just hang in there. Be more than a conqueror. Right? Rise up and fight. Rise up and fight. I want to say something right now. Something God's been revealing to me is that if you're willing to pay the price, God will take you up high. The higher you go with God is the amount of the will of God you walk into, right? Because when you walk in 100% of the will of God, you face tremendous battles. The Bible talks about hundredfold. I think it's in Mark where it talks about he's left father and mother and house and home. Jesus, you know, the disciples saying, yeah, we left mother and father and house and home. And, you know, and what happens to us? He said, well, you get a hundredfold. Those who, you know, pay the price. Let's read that scripture. Let's go there. Go there. All right, let's check it out. I haven't even gone there yet. All right, Matthew. I was saying, oh, it is Mark. Mark, it's also Mark. All right, hang on a second here. All right, let's look at this for a second. And Mark 10, is that one of them? Yeah, there we go, Mark 10. Let's see, I'm going to go to the Bible. There you go. Give me Bible Hub. You know I like Bible Hub. Google, what are you doing? Messing with me? I always talk to Google. All right. I just found it on my own. I got it right here, but I don't want to go with that one. Mark 10:28. Let's go to Mark 10:28. Look at this just for a second. Somebody needs this tonight. I don't know who you are. But God's going to speak to you, so get ready. You never know who God's going to speak to. At least I never do. Yeah, all right, in verse 28, that's kind of toward the bottom here. Let's go there. All right. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard is it for those who have riches to enter into the kingdom? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said to them, children, how hard is it for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And they were greatly astonished at that for some reason, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with men it is impossible. But not with God, for with God all things are possible. Then Peter said to him, see, we have left all and followed you. Watch this. Here we go. Big time Peter stepping up. Well, we've left all and followed you, right? You ever felt like that? Yeah. And Jesus answered and said, assuredly, I say to you that there is no one, not one of you who has left house, or brothers, or sister, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or land, for my sake and the gospel, who shall not receive 100-fold now. See, I love this because he talks it right straight out. Now and in this time, houses. Oh, all you people who don't believe in it, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands. Amen, with persecution, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. All right, so let's look at that for a second. If you want to really be blessed, you're going to have to put up with a lot. I'm going to tell you right now. If you want to be really blessed, you're going to have to really put up with a whole lot. The more you walk in the higher levels of the will of God, or you're not just talking it. We all kind of start up, we mean it, but as far as our actual life lining up with our will, lining up with the will of God, it takes time. It's a process of struggles and battles. And what do you do with your battles? Because if you always, like some of us, like me, at times, you know, you whine and complain about it, like, God, hurry up and get me out of this one. And, you know, it's like God's going, I don't want to take you out of this one. I want to take you through this one. You know, does God take us out sometimes? Yeah, when I think we can't handle it, he takes us out. Then he says, where's your faith at? You're like with Peter, when Peter and the disciples did things, you know, and they couldn't accomplish willingly. When Peter sunk, you know, he got his eyes off Jesus and started sinking. And then other times when they couldn't cast out devils and all that kind of thing, they said, Jesus said one thing, where's your faith at? Because, you know, the kingdom of God is about encountering issues and problems. That's what it's all about. What you're sent to do is deal with issues. You're sent to deal with problems. You're sent to go to houses where children and loved ones have died and believe God to either heal them or raise them from the dead. Everything, just like doctors live in the world. That's why I wouldn't want to be a doctor. Bless their heart. They live in the world of people getting sick. They might have thought about the money when they went in there and mixed with their calling. Yeah, it's my calling, and I'll get blessed and make some money. But, you know, you live with people's sicknesses and diseases every day. It's what you do. Operations. Did you save them? Did you lose them? Did you kill them? Did you bring them back to life? It's the same thing with us, friend. And if you run from or you're resisting trouble, then you're not made for the blessing, because the blessing is like it says, what did Jesus tell us to do? Cast out devils, heal the sick, and raise the dead. So what does that mean? We're going to be hanging around people or getting involved in helping people that have devils. We're going to deal with that. We're going to deal with people who are sick. He said you're going to cast out devils, heal the sick, right? So if you're going to heal the sick, then you're going to be around sick people. Is that what you want? Yeah. If you want to see results from God, that's what's going to happen. One way or the other, you're going to be facing some kind of difficulty. And talking about raising the dead, you know, what's raising the dead? That means a lot of mourning, a lot of crying, a lot of people telling you you can't raise them from the dead, only God can do that. I mean, you're going to go through all kinds of stuff. People are going to fight you. They're going to curse you, cuss you. You know, and then when God uses you, then they're going to, like, you know, blame you for something. They're going to find something to blame you for. Like, you know, but the cool thing is that when the people that are hungry for God, they're going to come running to Jesus. So we're made to confront storms. We are made. That's why Jesus was shown one of the greatest things we talk about is Jesus walking on a storm. What does that represent? It represents nothing but hassle and storm and problems and trouble. And yet the Father says, I'm sending you, Jesus, right in the middle of the storm. Why? So he could show people that he had authority over it. Well, what are we showing people? We want everything peaceful, right? I know I like it like that. I want everything calm. I don't want to deal with issues all the time. I don't want to deal with it. You know, so yet I start thinking, oh, my God, what am I thinking about? I'm called to deal with issues. That's what the anointing is for. The anointing is to heal the sick and raise the dead, not to... You know, we just want it to be about praying for somebody's money and they get more money. Well, that's part of it too. But Jesus said, if you're gonna walk in hundredfold, you know, it's gonna be because you've left, you know, surely you left father and mother and husband and husband and wife and children and family. You know, not leave them like divorce them so much, but as you know, sometimes we go serve God. You pay a price for that. But people don't want to talk about paying the price. They want to talk about, oh, we can't be going off putting God first and forgetting about our family. Well, if you put God first, you're not going to forget about your family. But you may have to go out and pay the price. You know, Billy Graham is an example of that, right, where he was gone a lot. I mean, but people will judge you these days, and I think they always have, of like, oh, he's just obsessed with God. He's just obsessed with, yeah, exactly. And if you're going to walk with God, you're going to have to be obsessed with God if you're going to walk in the hundredfold or in the blessing. And the higher level you walk in the will of God, and be, oh, God, just bring me into thy will, oh, thy Father, my heavenly Father, my daddy, papa, daddy. Oh, dear God, just bring me into the will of the Father. Oh, yeah. I mean, we all do that, right? And then all of a sudden we start facing problems. No, God, wait a minute, maybe I didn't, but no, the will of the Father, the Daddy God, Heavenly Jesus, that one, you know, peace be still, everything's great, everything's calm, everything's wonderful, that one. And the Lord said, I think you got the wrong God. Because there's not going to be anything peaceful, anything going on, true peace, until Jesus comes back and he finishes off, which is what we're believing God for, instead of passing it down to another generation. I don't know about y'all, but I'm just kind of like ready to kind of get it over with. Let's get this whole thing over with, God. And I'm not saying that just because I'm just saying it because I want to be doing something that I think is right. No, this is what God has put in my heart. Let's just go ahead and get it over with, y'all. What are we piddling-paddling around about? Oh, I don't want to go through the Great Tribulation because it's going to be nothing but trouble. Oh, dear God, no, not trouble, not great trouble like there's never been before. What are we going to do? We're all going to die. We're all going to die. Sorry, my theatrics have picked up in the last day for some reason. We're all going to die. You know, you travel with Jesus, you're going to have issues. You're going to run across problems. You go across the sea to go to the other side to cast out the devil of the guy who had the legion of demons. You know, yes, Jesus, let's go in thy will, O thy Son of God, Father God. Hallelujah. Oh, God. And on the way over there, right, like, you know, the storm starts raging. They're going like, oh, I thought it would be so peaceful and nice since we're going to do the will of God. It's going to be so wonderful. It's going to be, everything's going to just be so glorious. We're going to be so peaceful. It's going to be so, oh, yeah, really good. And about halfway over there, you know, the storm starts raging and the devil starts, something stirred up, right? The winds are blowing against them and they run down to Jesus who's down there sleeping because he knows, you know, that the storm rages. And he understands you can sleep in the middle of a storm because the storm is just the devil throwing a fit. Just let the devil throw a fit. He's going to throw a fit. We're not going to die because we're going to do the will of God. But the troubles are going to come. The storms are going to rage. And you just want to run from all of it, friend? No, you don't run from it. You do like David. Hallelujah. You take your slingshot and you run toward Goliath. Oh, and I don't want to do that now. I'm just going to believe God for peace and prosperity and everything going fine. Well, you know, I think you got the right prayer going on, but the process of getting there, it may not be exactly what you think, right? I'm talking about me too, all of us. I'm not criticizing anybody. You know what I'm saying? I'm just being real blunt with you tonight. Hope you don't mind that. But I'm talking about me too. I've told you all the times I prayed, God, you know, when are you gonna get me out of this one, God? Or said, Randy, the anointing it takes you places where demons are everywhere. I'm going like, what? Oh, yeah, I forgot. I wanted to sit back in my fat, lazy chair and do nothing. You know, oh, yeah, you're going to, oh, yeah, I forgot the anointing. It's not just to have everything wonderful, but it's to go after the devil and kick him out of town. Yeah. Oh, we don't want to go through the Great Tribulation, Brother Channel, because it's going to be a lot of trouble. Yeah, because that's the kind of Christians we are raising up. People who don't want no problem. We want everything to be just fine. Don't, no problem, no trouble. No, if I got trouble, I must not be in the will of God. I think it's just the opposite, friend. It's just the opposite. Jesus is saying right here, right? He's saying you're gonna walk in a hundredfold will of God. You know? And you leave mother and father for a sister and brother. And wife and children, for my sake and the gospel, you're going to receive a hundredfold now and in this time. But friend, it's going to cost you. He says that you're going to receive a hundredfold, but it's going to come with problems. It's going to come with problems. Hallelujah. I don't know what you want. Verse 30 says, who shall receive a hundredfold now and in this time? In other words, we're going to have to fight for that land. We're taking it from people? No, we're taking it from the devil and giving it to people of God. Are we taking away, you know, houses and all? Are we stealing? Are we taking away from people? No, we're taking them away from the devil and giving it back. We're taking people and taking those people away from the devil, casting the devil out of them.
when you start going through problems, friend, it just simply means that you're going to have to rise up to another level of the anointing, and we're going to have to rise up to another level of the glory of God, so you can handle the problems that are coming your way. If you try to get rid of every problem that you have, and God knows we all want to do that instinctively, I do. Now, listen, if you just today said, I want to get rid of all my problems, you're running, hey, I understand. Sometimes I'm like the rest of the disciples. I want to sit in the boat where it's comfortable. And sometimes God says, hey, you know, you got to understand, walking on the water wasn't just some glorious experience for Peter. It was hell was all around him. He was surrounded with destruction. He was surrounded with death, hell, and the grave. Going to take him down. We're going to take you down. Oh, you're going down to the bottom of the sea. That's where you're going to be if you step out of that boat. I'm going to show thee. I will show thee. You're going down to the bottom of the sea. Hey. Ha. Now, yeah. So you think he didn't feel threatened? Oh, what did he do? He said, Jesus, you have called us to rise up in the midst of a storm that's raging from hell and walk on the water. Hallelujah. We're called to cast out devils and heal the sick. Amen. Well, if you don't want that, then that's up to you. But you can walk in the lower levels of the will of God. You can walk in the fivefold ministry. You can walk in the tenfold. You can. You'll have a little trouble, but not much. You know, walking 20-fold, you're going to have more troubles. Why? Because you're intimidating the enemy. Why? What is walking in 20-fold, why is that different than 10-fold? Because when 20-fold means you're taking more possession of the things from the devil and giving them back to God. So when you're walking in 100-fold, that means everywhere you go, like Jesus did, the devils know what you're there for. You're there to take over and give it to the Father. That's why Jesus was met by demons and said, why have you come to torment us, O Lamb of God? You know, what do you think that was, man? Because they knew he was coming to cast them out and put them down and destroy them. Oh, but we don't want that. No. You know, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I forget that that's a part of the gospel. Now, I'm just going to be really honest with you. Sometimes, you know, I mean, I'm like going, I want to live a peaceful, nice life. I don't want people, you know, stirring up nonsense and stirring up trouble. And stirring up the storm. I don't want that stuff. I want, you know, at least when I come home, whatever, you know, you want something peaceful there, and I think we should have that to a certain degree. But, you know, when you go out and you're stepping out of the will of God, friend, it's going to be stormy. You're called to calm the storm. And that's what the disciples kept forgetting. Oh, yeah, we're hanging out with Jesus, the hundredfold man. He's the hundredfold boy. The hundredfold friend. We're hanging out with the hundredfold guy. He walked in hundredfold. Guess what? Everywhere Jesus went, all kinds of problems arose, from even feeding 5,000 or feeding 5,000 men, 20 to 30,000 people. What do you think that was? That was a big pressure issue. That was a lot of pressure around that. A lot of problems surrounding that. Food, getting food. Having to go back to town, and Jesus said, if they go back to town, they might faint on the way and pass out and die, and I don't want that. Yeah. You know, and then he goes to cast the devil out, and what happens is, you know, the disciples forget, oh, yeah, and when you hang out with the hundredfold boy, with the hundredfold man, with the Lord, with the God in the earth, you know, our friend, our brother, our master, we went across storms everywhere we go. Is this ever going to stop? Well, you have breaks once in a while, but it's also going to make you stronger. You're going to realize, hey, the more you decide to walk in the will of God at higher levels, the higher levels, like somebody said a long time ago, higher levels, more devils. I believe that. Get ready to be betrayed, friend. Betrayal is probably one of the things that shows you're walking in the will of God. If it really is a true betrayal, not just something you did. And you start it off, you make it look like it's betrayal. I've done that before. But if it's true betrayal, then that's just showing that you're walking. That's what happened with Jesus. If you walk in the will of God, there will never be any betrayals. No one will ever turn their back on me. No, it's a badge of honor, man. They're trying to kill you. That's a badge of honor. they're trying to take you out, it's a badge of honor. It's not like, oh, my God. These days, Christian teachers, they want to go through the Great Tribulation, of course, and that's going to be a lot of trouble. And they don't think they've got an anointing. The Holy Spirit's strong enough or powerful enough. Because the Antichrist is going to be so strong, it's going to be so horrible that we can't dare rise up and fight. No, because we'll lose. And they find all the losing scriptures instead of all the winning scriptures. All through the book of Revelation, there's winning scriptures where we win, and there's some where we look like we're losing. We're going to get some people going to get their heads chopped off, that's for sure. People are going to die. The book of Acts. What was the book of Acts? It was the greatest time when the Holy Ghost was poured out on the disciples. God was using them now like they never dreamed. And everywhere they went, they were trying to kill them. Are you sure that you guys want the glory of God? Or when you come home, you don't want that. When you go home and rest and you've been out traveling or whatever you're doing or going out praying for people, going wherever you go and you have trouble out there, yeah, have it nice at home. That would be good. People think Billy Graham didn't have any issues. No, Billy Graham, man, they tried to take him down. Oh, they tried to take him down. So if you don't want none of that, which, you know, I think that our natural human side doesn't want any of it. I know mine doesn't. But my spiritual side's going, how are we going to conquer territory if we don't fight the giants? Well, we're going to fight the giants, Brother Randy. We're going to stay home today while you go do that. Or Randy will stay home while you guys go do that, right? Whatever way it is. Yeah, we're called to take the land, take the territory, take the kingdom. And the violent, take it by force, the Bible says. That's a violent, oh, you don't want to talk about violence. Any kind of violence. No, violence, that's just, we don't want to watch any, you know, we don't want to watch any violence. Has somebody of you ever said that? Of course, yes. Most of us say, oh, we don't want to watch no violence. That's R-rated. We don't want to watch anything. Okay, well then, you know, some of us are going to have to close our eyes on the day the Lord returns, because when he comes back, he ain't going to be happy with what's going on, and he's going to split the clouds wide open, and he's going to come down, and he's going to start slaying people with the word of his mouth. There's going to be blood everywhere, and it ain't going to be because the devil got out of control. It's going to be because Jesus got in control and took control and is taking control. If you don't like R-rated movies, as far as violence goes, I'm just talking out loud here. You should never watch that violence. Well, you don't want to be there watching the day of Jesus' second coming, y'all. You don't want to be doing that. No, go home and go close your eyes, because the Bible says every eye is going to see him when he comes. And I don't know how we're going to see the destruction of all those people, but there's going to be a lot of people dying on that day. And who's going to be killing them? The Son of the Living God. You need to eat that, smoke that in your pipe, and get used to that, because that's the way it's going to be. And some of us don't want violence, because the violent take it by force, the Bible says. And we don't really want any violence. Anything that has anything to do with violence, oh, I don't want anything to do with that. So when the devil shows up and starts getting violent, you know, and I'm talking about myself, I've had situations in the ministry where people showed up and they were crazy. Some of them I was able to help, and some of them I had to get rid of for a season. Some of them still haven't showed back up. So sometimes there are times that some people, Judas just doesn't work. Right? The Judas factor doesn't work very well. You know, it was just one of those things. But, you know, it doesn't mean that we're not going to confront people who have problems. But some people, you know, some things, like Judas was chosen. Sometimes things are chosen to not be able to restore. When Jesus comes back, we're going to find a whole lot of people not going to be restored. A whole lot of people are going to be dying. He's going to get rid of a whole lot of people by physical death. He's going to kill them with the word of his mouth. He's going to slay them with the word of his mouth. It's not going to be I don't know how sweet of death it's going to be. I don't think it's going to be that sweet. The two witnesses, when you mess with them, fire comes out of the mouth. I think the reason a lot of people don't want to talk about this stuff is they don't really want to talk about that. That's violent. I don't want to think about that. I can't believe that they would do something like that. They would let fire come out of their mouth, oh God, and burn people up. I mean, it's going to smell bad. That's going to look bad. You're going to hear people screaming. That's going to be violent. Yeah, well, just close your ears and get ready. Or go home. Right? Yeah. Go take a break. it's okay. It's all right. But you know what? If you're not ready for this and you don't understand that we've been equipped for warfare, I don't want it all the time everywhere I go. I don't want it at home. I don't want it with my child. But sometimes stuff's going to happen, friend. There are Judas situations. Judas was not restored. He was one of the chosen. He was one of the one, even though God had told Jesus that he was going to betray him, and the Bible talks about a betrayer would be, you're always going to have betrayers among you. You're in a situation where some people are not going to be able to be restored. That does happen. You have, and that's another thing you got to learn how to get used to. People just cry and groan, and rightfully so, we should, when the Spirit of God has us do that. But at the same time, sometimes some people are just not going to come in, and that's going to happen. We need to try. We need to do our best and realize, okay, I'm going to give that to God. I've done the battle. I've been the fight. I've been doing the fighting. Now I'm going to let God do the fighting. I'm going to get over to the Lord. Paul the Apostle turned them over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, for the saving of their souls. Sometimes you have to turn people over to Satan for a season, like Paul the Apostle did. Y'all with me on that? Oh, that just sounds too violent, Brother Chandler. You shouldn't be talking like that. That is not just, that is not right. I mean, Paul turned him over to the devil. That was back in the, that was back in the New Testament a long time ago. Yeah, some people say that was in the Old Testament. You know, oh, that was the Old Testament. This was back in the New Testament, but it was a long time ago, Brother Chandler. We should don't even think about that. That is nasty. That is violent. That is bad. Well, let me tell you something, friend, that part of the kingdom of God is about violence. We turn the other cheek. It's not about physical, you know, well, there will be when Jesus comes back. It's going to be definitely violent there. But our job is to turn the other cheek. But the kind of warfare we're doing, we're believing God for the angels to take care of us. Jesus said, I can call down 10,000, thousands and thousands of angels to come down and take care of you guys. They can just whack you in just a moment's time. So I'm not saying that we should want problems. I'm just saying that when problems come, just remember you're anointed for it, right? We've been given all authority and power over the works of the devil. How are you going to ever work that if you don't ever come across it? And then when you fail, like the disciples failed time and time again, they complained to Jesus. Jesus, how come your disciples couldn't cast them out, couldn't heal them up? Well, yeah, that's why the day of Pentecost was so awesome. Because it changed all that. But they had to be very well aware of their inadequacy to deal with demons before pre-Holy Spirit, pre-Pentecost. They were very well aware of how strong the devil was in people because they couldn't cast him out, right? They were very aware of it. God made sure, Jesus made sure they were very aware of it. So when they got baptized in the Holy Spirit, casting out devils, healing the sick was easy. And I think that was part of the process that God took them through. It's my own opinion, but he let them struggle and battle and fight through, and it was a big, hard, difficult thing to do, cast out devils and heal the sick. I mean, oh, my God, this is nothing but work. Right. What do you want? What do we want? You and me, what do we want? So be willing and be ready. Ask God to help you. I have to ask God all the time. I think it's very normal for people to say, you know, I really don't want this problem. Of course you don't want it. But there's different ways to deal with it. God's going to show you to cast the devil out, to heal the sick, you know, to raise the dead. Those are all death-defying circumstances. Right? Those are difficult. Those are storms raging. But we've been anointed, and our whole purpose is to bring an end to all this. So that's why we cry out, Jesus, come back. In the process of crying, Jesus, come back, you and I go to work. You and I go to work. We work with what God's given us. We do what the disciples did in the book of Acts. And when you flow in that anointing, believe me, the devil is going to come after you. Why? Because you are intimidating him. And when you intimidate him, you walk in hundredfold, you intimidate the people around you. The people are intimidated. Why? Because the devil's intimidated, and the devil manifests through people. So the people come at you because the demons are coming at them. Well, you don't. Who do they think they are? That's just the devil talking to people. Are they going to take over everything? You know? Yeah.
Yeah, we are. That's the goal. It through Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. So, friend, get ready. The more you cry out for the will of God, we talked about that. I'm going to talk about one last thing, and then we'll take our caller tonight. I had a caller last night. I don't remember who it was, but I was praying, and they were saying how, you know, they were really tired of this and tired of that and ready to walk in God's will and all that. I'm going, yeah, me too. Same thing here. I go through the same stuff. You know, I'm just tired of all the mess and tired of all this. I'm just, go, God, just bring your will on. And I said, yeah, that's kind of what happened with Joseph. And Joseph is a great example because he gets the two visions from God about his brother's going to bow down, and then the sun and the moon and the stars bow down, and everybody's going to be bowing down to him, right? So that showed a high level of authority because other people were bowing down, are honoring him, not bowing down to worship him, but honoring him. It's an honor thing. And so if you're going to reach great honor, friend, it's going to cost you. It's just going to cost you. That's it. And Joseph prayed, oh, yes, God. You know, God, get sure with that. Oh, man, they're going to be bowing down. They're going to be honoring you. It's going to be awesome. And Joseph goes, yes, oh, God, bring forth your will. Oh, bring it on, God. Yes, let that dream you gave me be. Let it be done according to thy dream thou gavest me. Well, a few days later, he was in a pit being sold out by his brothers a few hours later. Sold out to Egypt. Oh, and he's probably just like us, you know. Well, I mean, no, God, I mean the will of God. No, the will of the Father. No, wait a minute. The devil's getting, what happened? The devil must have gotten up. Oh, the devil's messing everything. There was a storm raging, and Joseph was going like, woo, what's going on here? No, God, I'm the will of God, God. And there, if he could hear God saying it, he would say, tell Joseph, whisper in his ear, this is the will of God, Joseph. This is the will of God. You're in the will of God. And you're going to go through a high level. I've called you to a high level of the will of God. Therefore, you're going to suffer a lot more than most people suffer. And he's in Potiphar's house, been there for a few years, and he's like, oh, man, oh, God, you know, oh, bring me into thy will, oh, Jesus, oh, God Almighty. Oh, God, bring me into thy will. You can hear him praying now, you know, like he's getting tired of his nonsense, working for Pharaoh. I'm ready to get back to the being honored part, right? I would be, no doubt about it. Oh, God, bring thy will. I'm tired of this mess. So what happens the next day? Joseph was invited into the house of Potiphar's wife. Goes, hi, Joseph, why don't you come on in the house for a little bit? I have some work for you to do over here. And little did he know, he was being set up. What was going on? Well, it looked like the devil was out of control because he was being accused. He was all kinds of things going on that were wrong. But guess what? The whole thing was answer to his prayer. Oh, move me to a higher level of thy will, oh, God, back to Canaan land where my brothers and me honoring me and, you know, all that stuff. God, we're going to do some great things. Oh, God, take me to the next step. And the next step was, okay, off to prison you go, Josie. Hi, off to La Vista. Enjoy yourself. Learn and grow. Prosper and be wealthy. You're going to need it. For 15 years, man, he went through that stuff. Not everybody's called to go through all that. But if you are, you ought to be, after this message, you ought to be grateful, right? You ought to be grateful you're being accused. That's why he says, when you get cursed, you know why they curse you? It does it because, you know, you have a high calling in your life. That high calling, friend, is going to cost you. If you're not willing to pay the price, okay, move on. If you don't want to be lifted up, Joseph was like going, bring me to the next step, God, thy next step, oh, God. And what did it do? It got worse. He was getting, but little did he realize he was getting answered prayer. God was answering his own prayer. Sends him to prison. He gets right next door to the throne where he's going to be helping rule, and he doesn't even know it. Finally, he makes it. After years of suffering, years of, are you sure that you want the hundredfold? Are you sure? I don't know, man. You might want to think about it. Because if you can't handle problems,
You know, if you can't, when stuff comes against you and you just kind of roll over like, oh, I thought it was all going to be easy. Right? That's kind of what we all think. I think subconsciously we all think that sometimes. I know I do. Kind of a natural thing to think that. Nothing. Don't feel condemned because you think that. But let's just get it. Let's just remind ourselves. Every time we take communion, let's do this in remembrance of Jesus. And we're eating the body of Jesus. We've got to remember that that wasn't exactly a great day for him in the natural realm. It was a great day for God. But Jesus was being nailed to a cross. He'd been betrayed, whipped and beaten, bled out. And they still couldn't kill him. We take communion, we think, oh, let the peace of God be on my head. Well, yeah. But look at the price the Son of God had to pay to get us that peace. The storm he had to go through. The hell he had to go through. Looking death in the face and saying, you know, I give him my life. And he conquered death by fooling death. He fooled it. Yes, he did. He fooled death. He swallowed death up, friend. I've heard, I think it's the Cole teaching on that, that I never even realized that death was an enemy. I mean, you know, death is an enemy. So every time you fight death at one level or the other, whether it's physical pain, sickness and disease, what are you doing? You're fighting God's enemy. I mean, when she started telling me about that one night, I think she came on the show with me. They're talking about that stuff, and I'm going like, oh, my God. And I listened to one of her shows, and they go, that's right. Death is an enemy of God, an actual enemy. And there's more that she talks about in the book of Revelation. She makes it very plain. It's very, very amazing. I mean, stuff I never thought about before, you know. Oh, my God, this is amazing. So when you rise up to bring life, guess what? Death is going to fight you. Death is going to try to crucify you. Death is going to try to take you down. Death is going to try to accuse you. And when it does, and if something goes on, and if God doesn't, quote, deliver you, what are you going to do about it? Run for the hills? Say, oh, God's not with me? That's what we think at first. That's what I think at first when it happens. It's natural to think that, friend. I'm just going to be really blunt with you and honest with you. It's easy to think that at first. And then you start reading the word again, right? You start listening to scripture again. You listen to somebody preach it like I'm preaching it tonight, or maybe one of your preacher friends. You go, oh, my God, what am I doing? Yeah, when you came to Jesus, you got ready for a fight, man. You said, God, use me. What you're saying is, what's one of the first things you do is put on your weapons of warfare, your armor. What's that for? To go water skiing? Snow skin? You better wear it when you go snow skin, for sure. No, man, it's for warfare. Take back what belongs. Hallelujah. Now, you know, I'm talking human for all of us. I'm just as human as anybody. I like my fun. I like peace. I like prosperity. I like to be doing good. I don't like suffering. But Paul says, I've learned to be content in my sufferings and in my glory, to have everything I need and not have anything I need. To be without and to be with. That's the true victory in Christ. Amen? I don't know about y'all, but I mean, I'm with you in the boat. I mean, I'm saying all those things just like you're saying. Oh, God, get me out of here. You know, I am. And I totally forget. You're hanging out with Jesus, with the hundredfold man. You know, you're gonna be facing. You can intimidate the devil when you walk 100-fold. Isaac walked in 100-fold. 100-fold in the midst of famine. 100-fold in the midst of famine. Isaac produced 100-fold crop in the midst of famine. The kings around him became extremely intimidated and told him to get out. Yeah, but that's what happens. The devil and those who are in rulership who don't bow to Jesus don't want you there because that's our job, is to take over. Amen. But we do it by turning the other cheek. We do it by blessing those who curse us and do good to those who despitefully use us. That's how God wins the victory, friend. And that's the difference. When we fight differently. Now, when Jesus comes back, well, we got a whole different deal going on there. He's going to be whacking everybody who's resisting him and who's out to take his people out.
He's going to be whacking them. It's going to be R-rated. You better shut your little eyes because you won't like it. All right. Let's take callers tonight. I hope you still love me after all that. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Sometimes you have Judases that you can't restore. That does happen. Happens to all of us. But, you know, we walk through. We're going to have trouble. Judas was trouble. Was he restorable? Not in that case. Not everybody's restorable. But we try, right? We do our best. And then when it doesn't happen, we realize that's a Judas situation. You know, not restorable. Then you got a different thing going on. Amen. All right, let's take callers tonight. We're going to call out your number, and you tell me your first name and what state you're from. If you could do that, please. That would be really awesome. And we will pray and prophesy over you. Go to the next person. We're not going to be doing any talking tonight. This is an emergency prayer only. And thank you for paying attention to that, if you would. So even though I may know you, you know, I know a lot of people on PGN, other numbers. But if you could please just give me your first name and the state you're from, and then I will pray for you. If you have a real quick prayer request, maybe a couple of names or something, you could do that or text them to me. And we'd be glad to pray for whatever you have need of. All right? All right, get ready tonight. We're going to pay our first caller tonight. It's 202, our second, 325, third, 903, 972 after that, 614 after that, 912 after that, 912-318 after that, 754 after that, 804 after that, 915 after that, 111 after that, 863-268 after that, 803-991 after that, 769-220 after that, 111 after that, 612 after that, 325-721 after that, 903-619 after that, 903-808 after that, 903-253 after that. And then the rest of you don't have your hands up. 478, you don't have your hand up. 608, you don't have your hand up yet. 951, you don't have your hand up yet. Maybe you'll do it later, but there you go. All right. Okay, so I think we're ready to take our first caller tonight. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for, hopefully we'll catch everybody awake tonight. If not, I'll try to go ahead and pray for you anyway. So if I miss you, just know that I didn't just leave you. I prayed for you, right? If you didn't were able to answer the phone for whatever reason, don't worry. I will pray over you anyway. And just go back and listen to the show. You'll be able to hear it. All right. So our first caller, 202-722. Who am I talking to, Rick Friend, please?
Hey, how you doing, Randy? This is Daryl from Maryland. Daryl Paul from Maryland, and Nicole from D.C.
All right. All right. Good to have you tonight. All right. Okay, something's going on my computer here. What's going on? Hang on just a minute. Can't even turn you off. There we go. Okay, I think I got it. Thank you. All right, Daryl Paul. And I think like Nicole said, she calls him Daryl Paul. I think he calls himself Daryl. Did y'all notice that just then? We kind of caught that. You know, Nicole is telling us the truth. Yeah. I just call him Daryl Paul, but his name is Daryl. All right. Hallelujah. All right. All right. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Hang on a second here, please. Thank you. All right, Daryl Paul and Nicole, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for Daryl Paul tonight, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the peace, God, the peace of God. You know, Daryl Paul, God's really going to show you that what true peace is about, because when we don't have true peace, peace that comes from God or peace that is done correctly, you know, like we can have fake peace with somebody, and then every 6 months or so we have a fight breaks out with them, you know, or whatever. Argument or whatever, with friends or bosses or loved ones or whoever it is. And so having true peace is really settling things, you know, God's way. Because when we settle things God's way, as God shows us how to do that, and I think every circumstance is a little bit different, but as God shows you how to bring real peace in situations, blessed are the peacemakers, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. For they are the children of God, it says. Yeah, so being a peacemaker, and learning what real peace does brings real peace instead of a fake peace. You know, peace, then sudden destruction. That comes upon us because we didn't really get the real peace. So God's going to show you how to get real peace in situations, real peace in your heart about things, dealing with it the way God wants you to deal with it, and handling things the way God wants. Because when we handle things according to Scripture and according to the way God says, then we have true peace, right? Like to bless those who curse us. You know, that's one way. When I bless those who curse me, it's not always easy to do that, but I realize I get the peace I get from that. And the authority that I walk in with that is amazing. Because what happens is that I enter into a whole other realm of authority. And when you walk into authority, Darryl Paul, you the peace of God, because you know that even though you're having trouble with things, that who the authority, through Christ, the authority that we have, it rules over everything. Right. When we handle things according to the Word of God, handle things according to the Spirit of God, and the revelation we have of the Word of God, that it brings true peace. So thank you, Lord, for that. And bless my brother with that, God, and he can bring peace to the whole world, whatever he wants to do. We do it by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. It's situations in our personal life, situations in business life, it's situations in our own heart. You know, things according to the Word of God, bringing true peace. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for that. All right. And Nicole from D.C., thank you, Lord, for Nicole. We just blessed Nicole tonight, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for I don't know what I keep seeing your fingernails, like I see you, like your fingernails. I'm sure. Whether you like grabbing hold, digging in, you know, taking hold of something, taking hold of things. And God really showing you how to dig in and take hold of things like a pit bull, you know, to be persistent and persevering. And knowing that, that when we have a word from God or we understand God's word about something and we know it's God's word, the biggest thing we go through is the battle of perseverance and to dig in and to not let go and to hang on to what God is doing. And regardless, because we go through all kinds. I go through all kinds of things. Sometimes when I started pastoring years ago, you know, I just struggled the whole time because I didn't feel like I was doing it very good. I wasn't doing it very, you know, I just wasn't doing it right. It could have been, why didn't we have 1,000 people instead of 100, you know, after 6 months? I couldn't figure that out. I'm like, what is wrong, man? and just, the Lord just had to begin to teach me, you know, how things work and how things, you know, what goes on. How to handle things. And so I thank you, Jesus, for Nicole, God, that being persistent and persevering. So I would cry out to God in my perseverance and say, God, show me what to do. Am I called to be a pastor? Am I called to do? And I just persevered. And even though I wasn't called to be a pastor and I was trying to do something I wasn't called to do, I persevered in as far as the ministry goes. So I didn't really stop ministering. My ministry just went to a different place. Right. So perseverance doesn't mean that we stick with what we're at. Like sometimes we can stick with trying to be a plumber and we're like fixing things. And then we're called to be a remodeler. So we're still kind of in the remodeling business. We're just doing a different kind of it. So we persevere. Persevere doesn't mean that we don't change. It just means that we continue to move toward God in something. So God give you the wisdom on how to, God change and rearrange things and cause you to enter into, to stay in that mode of perseverance, not giving in, but not giving up, but pushing through for the, it's all about the will of God. It's not about what we're doing or not doing always as much as it is the will of God. And that's what we grab a hold of is the will of God. Some people grab a hold of a thing. Kind of hang on to a thing, you know, a business, a job, a person, a thing, whatever it is. And God says, take a hold of my will. Do not let go. You let go of anything else. Don't let go of my will. If you don't let go of my will, I'm going to bless you. I'll bring the friends you need. I'll bring the money you need. I'll bring the, whatever you need, the wisdom you need, the grace you need. Just, and like, in Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. All right, taking hold and not letting go. That's awesome. All right, 325-280. Who am I talking to, friend, please?
Chris from Texas.
Oh, hey, Chris. Not my brother. Laura, thank you for the anointing, God. It's like we're talking about tonight, the anointing to take possession of things. Taking possession of things is a thing, is anything that God has made. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all those things. Well, we think of things sometimes, I don't know what people think. Different people have different view of what a thing is. But the things that God brings to us when we seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, all those other things are added. What are those things? It's everything in the earth. From human beings to the dirt to, the riches in the dirt to, the birds in the air, the flowers in the trees, the whole thing. You know, all those things. And so when we're dealing with people, all those things that get added to us are the miracles, signs, and wonders that God wants to do. When we learn that we have an anointing to serve God and take back those things, well, it's not just, as you know, it's not just land and property. You're definitely involved in that. But it also is people, like evangelism, like ministering with the anointing to, call people back to God. Man, that's one of the greatest. See, people just think that souls are the only thing God thinks about. No, he thinks about everything. The souls need a place to live, right? That's not saying, I really care about my car, but you can take the wheels and get rid of them. Who cares? I don't really need that. I don't really need the wheels. I just need the car. Give me the motor. That's what's big. That's what's important. People think, well, just souls are everything. Well, souls have a place. They need a place to live. They need to have children. They need to be healed. If they don't, can't, they need to be, have finances. So all the things are the provisions that God has. Knowing that God has called you to take possession, and that's what the anointing is. That's what prayer is. That's what seeking God is our whole goal here in ministry, at whatever level it is to take back that which has been stolen. Amen. Satan stole it through tempting Adam and Eve. And whatever's been stolen, which was everything, including their souls, their life, their body, all the trees, the fish, everything had been stolen, now belonged to Satan. Jesus' job in coming back, Chris, was to, as an example for us, was to take back everything. The devil took him and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. He didn't just show him people. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world. Kingdoms, forests, trees, land, rivers, oceans, kingdoms have all that stuff. It's not just people. So when we think of souls, we have to think about the gospel also, that the gospel of Jesus Christ is that everything in the earth that the devil stole is what we need to live. And so it's about taking back all of it. So God wants to open up your mind, more and more and more as we go along, to know that everything we take possession. God gave Adam and Eve possession, but it possessed, fill the earth, take dominion over the earth. Why? Because it was what God made. It was a gift to them. All those things belong to God. Things are not evil. We got to look at things as in the light of everything there is, everything you can see comes from God. But Satan tried to tempt Jesus when he showed him all the kingdoms, and Jesus said, get behind me, say, I'm going to get it all right, but not your way. And the whole strategy is getting it God's way, taking possession God's way. That's what people, Christians start getting in the flesh, trying to get things, do things, even ministry things, do it in their own strength, their own wisdom, instead of seeking God about it all and doing it God's way. People fight us, we fight back in the flesh. You talk bad about my child, I'm going to talk bad about yours. You talk bad about me, I'm going to talk bad about you. And so, we try to fight like that, and we call it ministry. It's not. We do things God's way, and that's how we take possession, the right way. Amen. And God's really showing you that, going to show you that, has really anointed you for that. Take possession of all things, people, and everything people need to live, everything God has. Everything's been stolen from God. Amen. Not just people, but everything. Amen. Giving you power and anointing and a calling to do that. You're called to that. It's a calling, and you're 918. Who do I talk to real quick, please?
I'm Michelle from Texas.
Hi, Michelle. All right, Michelle, govern things, to be able to govern things. Well, I think that you give Michelle that govern, the ability to govern. And look up the word govern. You know, I know what it means, basically. Let's look it up. Look up the word govern. Hang on a second here. Make sure I'm not connected to the internet with my phone. There we go. All right. Meaning of govern. I mean, of govern, the governing body of a nation, state, or community. The relations between a government governed and a governing word. Let's look up the word govern. All right. To govern. Okay. All right. Carve that. Yeah. All right. To exercise continuous sovereign authority. Here we go. I finally found it. Over, especially to control and direct the making and administration of policies in the country. So to govern something means that you exercise continuous sovereignty or the rule of God. So whatever, you know, what I was giving Chris, you know, about how to, you know, take back what belongs to God's people. To govern it. That's what God told Adam and Eve. I've called you to govern things, take care of things, to exercise continuous sovereign authority. And sovereign means to rule. So God's really wanting to show you the rulership realm, to rule and reign with Christ. He wants us to get our mind, Michelle, on ruling and reigning and doing it his way and learning how to practice ruling and reigning with Christ. Right. How would Jesus do that? You know, what would Jesus do? That kind of thing. How would Jesus do that? And to control and direct the making and administration of policies, you know, like what policies you live by? The Word of God. You know, so we learn to do things by the Word. We govern by the Word and take authority over things by the Word and not just use the Word of God for our own selfishness, but use the Word of God to get back the things that God, that belong to God, into God's people, and that's everything. Now, eventually, Jesus is going to come back, and he's going to get rid of those people who don't want that, and he's going to only keep those who want it. In other words, we're going to stay, they're going to leave. We're not leaving, they are leaving. The Bible says cast out the devil. Not cast out Christians. Cast out the devil, right? Take authority over him and cast him out. That's what we're called to do. And they're trying to get us out, trying to get the Christians out. The devil wants us out. But we're not going to get out. We're going to cast the devil out and his people. Eventually, Jesus will finish it off. So how to govern, how to take authority over things, how to rule and reign with Christ, and walk in that place of authority. God told you to walk in authority, Michelle, and you'll learn how to do that when you do it with Christ, in Christ. And also in your giving, make sure you're giving. You're doing good with your giving and your offerings and your money. Because God wants you to govern and rule in the money realm. But you have to do things God's way, as you know. And I'm sure you already are. But just continue to do that and know that if you're going to, whatever area you want to govern in, rule in, which we're called to rule over all things, then God wants to teach us how to rule over all things. It's all about doing things God's way. Not just our way. No, I just thought I'm going to do this and I'm going to do it. No, then you lose your authority. Then you can't, you find yourself without any authority to do anything. You're just helpless, hopeless, and have no help to do anything. What is help? It's the authority of God gives us as we do it his way. Amen. All right. All right. 614-432. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Hi, Deborah from Ohio.
Deborah from Ohio?
Yes.
Hi, Deborah. Nice to have you. Okay. All right, Deborah, good to have you tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for Deborah. Lord, I thank you for her mouth, God, that you use her mouth to condemn the works of Satan, like the Bible talks about, Deborah, as you know, I think it's day saying with Deborah, I think it was Deborah, that we, you know, no weapon formed against us shall prosper, right? But every weapon, every tongue that rises against us in judgment, we shall condemn it. And so, you know, learn to use your mouth more and more and more, and I'm sure you already do, to condemn evil and prejudice and injustice and condemn those things. Because when a building gets condemned, like when the city condemns a building, that means you can't go in there. That means it's not functional. There's no water. There's no supplies. It's dead. It's not functioning. So God's showing you that how to condemn things, condemn words. Condemning a word means by the authority of Jesus, when you condemn a word or condemn a judgment against you, when you condemn the judgments that other people bring against you, or even the judgment you bring against yourself. And sometimes we judge ourselves unrighteously. We have to condemn every tongue that rises against us in judgment. We condemn it, condemn it, condemn it. And God's showing you how powerful the condemning is. And then, of course, we call forth, you know, the victory in Christ Jesus through your mouth. You know, God's showing you what to say and saying what God shows you to say, not just picking what you think or picking what I think, but we pick what God says and what God thinks. And God really showing you that in the prophetic realm, how to. The prophetic realm is simply, I think everybody can prophesy. Not everybody's a prophet, but everybody can prophesy. Prophesying is just flowing the spirit with information about praying the right prayers, prophesying the right, speaking the right things over your health, your wealth, your finances, your family, you know, the atmosphere you're in, to use your mouth like Jesus did to condemn the judgment of man and release the judgment of God or the righteousness of God or the blessing of God. Amen. But we have to realize that we have a twofold thing. We don't just speak the blessings of God. We're also called to, the Bible says the anointing destroys the yoke. So there's a destructive part of God. Well, what does he destroy? Not people, of course. He doesn't want to destroy anybody. He wants to bring life to every person. But he destroys, there's a destructive part of God that we must come in agreement with to destroy, you know, wicked things, evil things. Yeah, and bring righteousness and healing and deliverance. Amen, in Jesus' name. All right. All right, 912-318. You want to talk to your phone, please?
Hi, Randy. This is Sandra and Robert from Georgia.
Hey, Sandra. All right. Good to have you guys met. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just pray for the beauty of the Lord. God, I thank you for bringing them through their situation. If you text me about your situation, Lord, I thank you for giving them the conquering power or authority of Christ Jesus to rise up and make those decisions that need to be made, Father, you know, and to know that you are, you know, sometimes things just, you know, have to be dealt with that are difficult. And so God's really going to show you how to, you know, we have to make decisions in dealing with people. There's a real wisdom in dealing with people, and God's going to give you wisdom how to deal with the people around. And some people, you know, need to be dealt with. Have to be turned over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, for the saving of their soul. And so sometimes that process is very difficult. But we have difficult situations. That's the anointing. Like Paul, the apostle, had the anointing to turn that person over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, but for the saving of their soul. So we never forget about their soul, but we do turn them over sometimes. Because I did a study on this, Sandra, about this, and it was very amazing what God showed me. That what Paul was doing when he was given that young man, it was a young man, over to Satan, was because he didn't repent. It couldn't get it right, and no matter what they did, nothing worked. They tried everything, and believe me, Paul knew how to do it right, and nothing worked. And so what he did is he came to the difficult challenge, and to do something to, in a sense, excommunicate him, because that's what the learning I've done about that is that for Paul to turn somebody over to Satan, a human being over to Satan, for the destruction of the flesh, for the saving of his soul, he was basically excommunicating them from the church, at least for a season. He was putting them outside the care and the protection of the church because this person wasn't able to get it right, and nothing that you know, they I'm sure they tried to cast the devil out of him. I'm sure they tried everything, and Paul had authority. He was a man of authority. He wasn't like some wimp. And so he came to the conclusion that this is what we're going to have to do this. So he actually, in a sense,
when he said, I give him over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, he was saying, we're putting him outside the protection of the body of Christ, of the church, so that he can, you know, be out there, you know, where the grinding of teeth is and where they're, and that he starts seeing, hey, you know, and where he cries out to God. And eventually the guy did cry. This particular person did cry out to God, but not all people do. And he eventually cried out to God, but he had to go make the difficult decision because it was about the person's soul more than it was about, you know, him being a part of his church or being part of that family that he was messing up. He was messing up somebody's family. And God dealt with that. So may God give you the grace and the wisdom and realize that we're talking about people's soul more than we are, that whether we're going to have them live with us or not live with us. It's more about their soul and dealing with that and think about it on that level. And sometimes, you know, in the excommunication of you, if you will, that that Paul was doing, he was putting that person outside the protection of the church. He's putting him out where the gnashing of teeth was, where the world was, where Satan was running rampant, and put him in that place. And when he, you know, it put the fear of God on him eventually, and he got with God. And so, but Paul knew that was the resort he had to go to. So he did it. Difficult, complicated, but it brought great fruit. It brought great results. And it doesn't with everybody, but that's the final blow that we bring to get that person for the saving of their soul, the Bible says. And that's in 1 Corinthians 5. 1 Corinthians, I think it's 1 Corinthians 5, maybe 2 Corinthians 5, maybe both, because it's in both chapters where he talks about that particular issue, very difficult issue. So thank you, Lord, for giving them wisdom, how to handle that, how to deal with that, Father. In Jesus' name, may God strengthen you and give you the grace to let go and let God. Sometimes letting go, let God, it has different meanings. And Paul the Apostle was letting go, getting him outside. He got him outside the protection of the church because that was the strategy God gave him. Amen. Because he was more interested in his soul than he was in whether he had that was part of that family or not that he was messed up on. All right. Amen. God's giving you an anointing to do that. And this difficult situation is going to turn to glory and power and authority for you. Like Paul the Apostle, you know, he learned all different kinds of levels of authority and power in dealing with situations. And if you look through the scripture, you find he dealt with some pretty rough stuff. And he spoke blindness on somebody once. You know, what Christian would ever speak blindness on anybody? Sometimes that's what has to be done for people to get saved. You have to go to the extreme. Amen. And that's with that young man. He was a young man that he dealt with. And, gave him over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, for the saving of his soul. Because he was concerned about his soul. But he had to deal with it in a very harsh way. All right. God's going to be with you in that and show you how to activate that and walk in it. All right. 754-240, who am I talking to you from, please?
Hey, Randy, this is Donald and Tanya from Miami.
Hey, y'all. All right, good to have you tonight, Donald and Tanya. All right, thank you, Jesus, for the blessing, God. I thank you for that hundredfold realm we're talking about tonight. God, we've talked about that with them a few times. And so obviously you passed the test. God brought you out of the, I don't know what arena you were in exactly, but I'm going to use as an example, I'm going to say 30, 16, 100 folks. So you obviously were, you know, in the 30 or something like that. I don't know, maybe you could have been in the 10 or you could have been in the 40. But I'm saying in the 30-fold, you're obviously ready for the 60-fold. And then as you do what God tells you to do and go through the test, learn how to rule and reign with Christ in this new arena, then he's going to take you, then you're because you're on your way somewhere. It's about being on your way somewhere. And you're on your way to the 100-fold. And with that's going to come, you know, I'm just going to, people don't want to sweet talk it. I'm not going to sweet talk it. It's going to be, you know, you want to walk in the 100-fold, man? Get ready for trouble. Get ready for it because it's going to happen. And God's anointed you. The only reason that God, that 100-fold calls for problems is because the anointing, it's not just, oh, I got lots of 100-fold money. It is 100-fold, it's 100-fold, quote, anointing. 100-fold understanding. You've heard me teach about this. Matthew 13, I think, about the
where Jesus planted the seed, different grounds and all that, 30, 60, 100-fold understanding. Some people think it's talking about money. They're talking about 30, 60, and 100-fold understanding. So as God brings you from 30-fold understanding of how you're dealing with things to and opens up the door for you to head towards 60, because in order to get out of 30, the 30 door has to open up to the 31 door and the 32 door and the 33 door, and you know, so to speak. You see what I'm saying? So the 30-fold door has been opened up to the 31 door, so you've made a step. And you're going that direction, and working it. But it's more about the understanding that you got. That's why I was so proud of you and so thankful to God that the understanding when I heard some of the things you said, like being weak. You know, Paul said, "I am weak, but I am weak. God becomes strong." That was a huge step for you, in my personal opinion, to move it out of the 30-fold, so to speak, toward the 60-fold. And then, you know, as you walk there, you go from the 60-fold to the 100-fold, heading toward the 100-fold. It's a process. But a lot of people never make it out, never even make it to the 30-fold. They stay at 20, they stay at 25, you know, for years, or maybe all their life. You never really break into the, you know, the full 30-fold, and then get ready to bust through into the 30, heading toward the 60-fold. So, but this is, it's the whole number situation, 30, 60, 100-fold, and that scripture is about understanding. So as you get understanding, when you got that understanding about being weak, that was a sure sign to me, hearing you say that, hearing the anointing on it, was that you're ready to move on with God, because that's the process you go through, is being weak, but yet He becomes strong through you, right? And we acknowledge that without God we can't do nothing. Just like Jesus, I can do nothing except what I see my Father do. When you get that revelation, that means you're on your road to the 100-fold. You're on your road to the 100-fold. You're on your road down to the 100-fold. You're on the road to the 100-fold. Now, yeah, something like that. If I could sing, I would sing it, but I can't. So you know. Yeah, and you and Tanya are in it together. You're always in it together. You may be more involved in certain things than she is, but y'all are in this together. So one puts 1,000, two puts 10,000. That's why it's important. To be together and learn how to dwell together, be together, and that sometimes Tanya has to let go of you to a certain degree in certain levels and let you function, grow, and kind of be a little bit obsessive compulsive with things, you know, and until you grow back into it and you start realizing, okay, I can do that and do more family. I can do this and do more family. I can do more family and do that too. And then it turns out to you can do more family and do that too, instead of I can do a little bit of family with a lot of this. But the more you grow into it, the more the balance comes. And so you grow in all of it together. And as you do it together, one puts 1,000, two puts 10,000. So that all that together is about getting understanding of how to walk in that. And you're on your road to it, man. You're on the road to that. It's obvious. God is paving the way for you. Amen. And we're here to help if we can. If I can help, if God needs me to help you along the way, that's what I'm here to do. I can't. It's you and God, you know, do whatever. I'm just glad to see it happening. So, amen. God bless you guys. All right, 804-218. You want to talk to your friend, please? All right, 804-218, are you there? I believe that's Angie from Texas. Thank you, Lord, for Angie. God, I thank you for the power of resurrection, God, that she realizes that you're going to show her in a very practical way that Jesus didn't just have resurrection power. He is resurrection. He is the resurrection. In other words, it's not about him resurrecting. Like he said to Mary and Martha, you know, I am the resurrection. In other words, they thought he was saying, you know, I'm going to resurrect people in the end time, you know, when it's all, you know, when it's time. And he wasn't saying that. He says, I am the resurrection. And getting that revelation that Mary and Martha, I think, eventually got that he was the resurrection, because they sure didn't understand it, because they were crying. It was a difficult time for them. Jesus literally let their brother die, and that had to be difficult to deal with. They had to be very spiritual, God-fearing, loving people to know that Jesus let their brother die, who they loved dearly, and then come to them and say, Lord, if you'd have just been here, you know, that's what do you think that if you'd have just been here meant? Like that was a cut, like, you know, we cut some people. If you'd have just been here,
Daddy, I wouldn't be this messed up. That's not a very good thing. You know, I've just used that as an example. It has nothing to do with you, of course. If you'd have been here, Mommy, I wouldn't be like this. Like this, Jesus. Mary, Martha, if you'd have been here, Lord, we wouldn't be having this problem. If you'd have been here. But no, you just like decided, you found out we were having a problem. You just kind of stayed on the road, you know, just ignored us completely. Now he's dead. But if you'd have been here, you know, so it's kind of a gig. But Jesus understood, you know, that he understands human pain and human suffering, human loss, and that we don't understand the ways of God. And so when he spoke to them, of course, they didn't understand, I am the resurrection. He was saying that, I can take care of business anytime I want to. That's why I can let somebody die, because it's no big problem to me. I can just raise them right back up, right? if Abraham, Isaac, God is the resurrection, so if God kill him, God will just raise him right back up. It causes you to be worry-free. You know, if I lose something, I'm not going to worry about it. You know why? Because he is the resurrection. He'll just raise it right back up, right? How can the devil take anything from me when I don't take possession of it for myself? I take possession of it. It's mine. God gives it to me. But it's to do, you know, if he wants me to do something with it, I will choose to do what he wants with it. It's mine. It's not God. God gave it to me, and it came from God. And if God asked me for it, I would gladly give it back then. But I don't have to. I do because I want to. And I thank you, Lord, for that whole realm of good because we want to. And not afraid to do it because we know he is the resurrection. All right. Amen. All right, 915-248, you want to talk to Refund, please?
Daniel from Texas.
Oh, hey, Daniel. All right, Daniel, good day. Thank you, Jesus, for Daniel, Father. Thank you, Lord, for the spirit of faith, Father, in him. You've given him the spirit of faith, the gift of faith. And God, I thank you for that gift of faith and the spirit of faith that causes him to be willing to risk his own life to do the will of God. That's what that is. Faith, a person who's full of faith. When you read about in Hebrews about Daniel, about the people of faith, you see where they were willing to die for Jesus. I mean, that's what he says. These are the men of faith in Hebrews 11. I was kind of listening to some of it today. You know, they were willing to take, they got sawed in half, they got this and that, all kinds of bad things happening. It's not funny, but it's kind of funny. Because, you know, they just like, hey, whatever. You know, I got faith in God, man. You know, and so true faith has love as its base and loves God. When God speaks and says he wants something or is wants something from us, wants us to do something, wants to go, like you did with that guy when you took care of him. And you did that, you know, and risked, you know, you're moving forward with helping him and all that. You know, it's like you did that because you're a man of faith. And God's going to start showing you what faith does. Faith is not afraid to die. Faith is not afraid to live. Faith is not afraid of anything, right? Fear is what robs us of faith. And God's going to use you to put faith in a lot of people. God's going to use you to give, to inspire people to have faith. He's going to use you, Daniel, to inspire people to believe God and to be willing to lay their life down or live their life forever, just serving Jesus and loving Jesus. And the basis of your faith is love. So the Bible says if you have all faith to move mountains and have not love, wow, I just got a revelation on that. That is awesome. I'm going to read that. Hang on a second. That's Corinthians 13. Is it 13 that it says that particular thing? Man, I just got a hold of that. I don't think I've ever noticed that before. Those speaking tongues of angels and men. Yeah, here it is right here. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. The greatest gift, though Daniel speak with tongues of men and of angels, but had not love, he becomes a sounding brass and a clean symbol. But when he walks in love, he becomes a man of, you know, because that was the whole thing about the word was giving you. And I just got a hold of the scripture with that faith with love is powerful, right? If they have faith to move mountains, and though I have the faith, all faith, so that I can remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor,
So I give my body to be burned, but have not love. It profits me nothing. So that's, wow, this is really awesome, Daniel, because I never, when I heard the Lord talking about your faith and how you can find out about your, but your faith is founded in love, I've never said that to anybody before. I mean, you know, it's wow, that was hot. Thank you, Jesus. That was really hot. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, look at that. So as I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. But just think, it's, you turn around the other way, but if I have love, I can do all things. I'm not a nothing, I'm great. Jesus said, if you want to be great, become nothing, right? Become low, become a servant. You want to become great, become a servant. And so that's what God does. He teaches us how to be a servant, and we serve, and we save, and we help, and we do. And our faith do that, but our faith, when your faith is based in love, then it produces greatness. You know, greatness in the sense of being the greatest. In other words, I don't know about you, but I want to be the greatest father, the greatest preacher. I want to be the greatest. You know, I don't want to get in a competition, but I want to be the greatest boss. Let's say being the greatest boss, the greatest manager or something. What would that be? That wouldn't be just like, we're not just about having lots of money. We're talking about being the greatest boss means you deal with people justly, you deal with people fairly, you pay them what they're worth, you're a good man, you listen to people, you know, you deal with things correctly and justice. That's what being the greatest is. And everybody wants to be the greatest. I think everybody wants to be the greatest ball player. When you go to play ball, when you go to play a game, you want to win that game, right? Well, because that's just what we do. We're there to win the game. We want to be the greatest. Being the greatest is not evil. It's not bad. It's not carnal. The disciples were arguing over Daniel, being who's the greatest. And Jesus didn't say, rebuke him for what that. He just said, if you want to be great, you can be a servant. And that's kind of what you did with that guy when you served him. And that proved that God said, hey, I'm going to make Daniel great. In other words, you're going to be a great manager, a great boss, a great man of God, a great servant of God. You know, in other words, you know, you're going to do your job well. It's not about being better than everybody else. It just means, right, being great means you're the greatest at what you do. You serve the best. You give people the credit what credit's due. You're not trying to take all the glory. You know, that's what being great is. So, wow, awesome. Woo, that was hot, bro. That's getting some pretty hot words lately. That is really awesome. All right, Daniel, thank you so much. All right, 111, who am I talking to you from, please? All right, 111, are you there? Hello, 111?
It's me, Carmen.
Oh, Carmen, okay. I can barely hear you for some reason, but it's Carmen. All right, I got it. And I'm at your piece, man. I'll be good either, but I can barely hear that. All right, but we got you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, no wonder I did have my earpiece sitting weird. All right, Carmen. Thank you, Carmen, for being with us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for that plenty. God says, I'm going to give you plenty. You're going to have plenty. You know, when Jesus broke the bread, how did he end up with plenty? Because he gave it away. He blessed. He took the bread. He took what he had. He took what was given to him. He didn't really have that. It came from, actually from somebody else. And he took that 5 loaves and 2 fish, he blessed it, broke it in the Father's presence, and he gave it out. He gave it. You're part of the giving room. For God so loved the world that he gave. Giving. It's like God is like the widow who had too much. If Jesus said she was the greatest giver than the one giving millions over here. Why? Because she was given out of her living. And when you're giving out of your living, that means you're going to be, you live to give. And what does God do? He has to keep blessing you if you're going to keep giving, right? Like we can't outgive God. Somebody's trying to text me here. Okay. I thought maybe that was you trying to text me. Yeah. It's like God, when somebody becomes a giver, and whatever, I'm not talking about money either. I'm talking about being a giver for God so loved the world that he gave. Well, he didn't just give money, right? No, he gave his son. He gave giving. Well, God's going to open up a whole other realm of giving for you that you're going to understand what the Bible says when the Bible says for God so loved the world that he gave. that he gave his only begotten son. Woo! God gave us everything, man. Through Christ Jesus, he chose one person to get us everything. Everything that we need. Everything through Jesus Christ. The great gift of the Father. For God so loved the world that he gave. So when we learn to be a giver, we give our time, we give, yes, our money, we give our love, whatever we're giving, we give it away, give our prayers, give our time to God, whatever, and this whole giving thing. But the Bible says it's better to give than it is to receive. But if you're not receiving, how are you going to keep giving, right? That's what God showed me. He said, Randy, if you'll give the bread away, I'll give you so much bread or so much revelation that you don't need to sell anything to do anything. I'm going to bless you so much that you don't even, I can make it where you don't need any money. And you know, you can live off a dollar a year and have everything. And you know, see what I'm saying? It's like the blessing of God is not just about having money. It's about just being blessed and prospering. That everything we touch just get blessed. And it's all through knowing of being like God, of being a giver and giving our time, giving our love, giving our passion, giving our friendship, giving our life away. Amen. And giving our lives for God to others. Hallelujah. And when God starts blessing us back, you got to have a good receiver. Our receiver has to be opened up. A lot of people are great givers, but the reason they can't go past the level of giving that they're at, I'm talking about their time, their love, the reason they can only give to a certain level because they don't know how to receive. When you give, get ready because you've got to receive back. Like when I let God love me, you know, he's giving to me twice so I can give back. When we receive his love first, he first loved us. We didn't love him first. He first loved us. When we learn to let God give to us his love, then we can give love away. So we have to learn to receive love, receive the financial blessing, let our receiver receive it all. Amen? Because why? Because we're givers. Not because we're trying to hoard it all up for ourselves. We're givers. We transfer the wealth. Amen? Yeah, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. That's the wealth of it. Like I said earlier, when God told me to give, he said, Randy, I forgot to love the Lord that he gave. I said, what do you know? He said, you know, giving my word away. Give my word. Do not sell my word. Give my word away. And I will give you so much word. I'll give you more word than anybody's got. The more you give, the greater you become in giving, the greater you're going to become in receiving. And the more you receive, why do I receive stuff? I receive revelation. Why? To give revelation out. I don't keep it for myself. I'm rich with revelation, man. I get so much revelation, I can't even keep up with all of it. Why? Because I learned to give freely, and I also learned to receive freely. Yeah, and then I can give more, and I give more away freely, and I get more because I'm a giver. I'm learning to give, give it away, 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 give it away. All right. Even got a song with that. Must be giving a good night. Okay. Give your life away. Hey, hey, hey. Give your life away. Hey. Carmen, Carmen, Carmen. Give your life away. Hey. Give it away, give it away, give it away. Give it away, give it away, give it away. Okay, Chandler, stop singing and move on. All right, don't know what that is, but there you go. At 863-268, do I talk to you briefly, please?
Hey, Randy, it's Charles and Nikki from Florida, and I have a prayer request. Can we pray for a girl named Melanie?
Melanie?
Yep.
With an M, Melanie. Okay. Yes, I will do
Melanie.
It. Thank you very much. All right, I appreciate
you.
It. All right, thank you. All right, Melanie. I just don't forget about it. Melanie. All right, Melanie. Thank you, Lord, for Melanie tonight, Father. We thank you that that Melanie received the gift of life, the gift of life, the gift of life. God, I just thank you for the gift of life to Melanie, Father. May she receive the gift of life, the gift of life, the gift of blessing, life, not death, life and victory, not destruction. And does destruction come at us? Yeah. But life swallows up that destruction. You know, death is swallowed up by life. Amen. Is death going to come at us? Yeah, because we're in a battle. Until Jesus comes back and takes it all back, we're going to be in a battle. We're going to be struggling. We're in warfare. But we got to realize that that's the way life is, man. That's the way it is. And God says, I've called you to be victorious, Melanie. I called you to be victorious, to live in victory, live in victory. Because when Jesus paid for victory and he said, and you're his Savior, then you have the blood of a victor. You have a blood of more than a conqueror. And God wants you, your blood to be conquered in Jesus' name with the conquering power of Jesus. Amen. And the blood speaks. The blood speaks. Conquer, conquer, conquer. Amen. Yeah. Ronker, 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 conquer, 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 ronker, ronker, ronker. Whatever ronker is, I don't even know what ronker is. Hang on, let me write that down. Ronker. I don't think that's a word. Ronker. That's me. Okay. I'm just doing this by faith, right? You know, hang on a second. All right. I don't know what that is. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I thank you, Lord, for the power of that victory for her in Jesus' name, that she realized that Jesus paid for the victory. Therefore, she didn't have to pay for it. It's been paid for. And there's no paying for it. You just, you know, we give our life to God. You know, come buy of me gold tried in the fire, meaning that's what Jesus said, and come buy of me, you know, gold without money. Amen. We buy it from him by giving our life to him, by serving him. And I thank you, Jesus, for that victory in Jesus and Melanie, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The passing away of the old, the bringing in of the new. God, that you have a brand new thing. Behold, all things pass. Behold, all things pass. The old passes away. Behold, the new has begun in Jesus' name. Let it begin right now, God, right now, tonight, today, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. For Charles and Nikki, thank you, Lord, for Charles. Lord, just bless Charles tonight, God. We pray for their health, that they be healthy and wealthy and wise. In Jesus' name, healthy, wealthy, and wise. Hallelujah, God, that they prosper and be in health, even as their soul prospers. God, that you're teaching them how to let you change their soul. The soul is how you think. The soul is how you know, your emotions. Your soul is all that, how you respond to things, all that. So we thank you, Lord, that you're teaching them how to be the responders. Amen. And they respond by the glory of God. They respond by the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. That you've given them the grace to subdue all things, their feelings, their flesh, all the things that try to get riled up. And the enemy tries to use that riling up to distract them. It's like, you know, the thing that we're in battles about every day, Charles and Nikki, is the will of God. And the more we walk in the will of God, the more the enemy's going to bring battles. Why? To distract us. It's about distractions. And when we're being distracted, we get distracted from what? The will of God. Amen. Like Peter, when he was walking on the water, the big distraction was that the storm was raging. It was already raging, but it began to get on his nerves. You know, he began to irritate him. He got emotionally stirred up. And he didn't subdue the feelings. So it took him. It wouldn't have taken anybody. Most people would have never even stepped out of the boat. But he took courage, just like you have courage, to step out of that boat and then to maintain that. Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for that. Hallelujah. Maintaining in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And realizing that, that you prosper them. Their soul prospers, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. And that the the control factor of being able to keep our eyes on Jesus. This is something I deal with every day, keeping my eyes on Jesus, because I deal with a lot of storms. I don't talk about them. You know, I'm not gonna whine about them. Talk about them unless God tells me to. You know, the storms are blowing around me all the time. Are you kidding me? Why? For what? What? To distract me from the will of God. To distract me from the will of God. And I will not be distracted. I'm going to keep my eyes, my focus on Jesus. If I do that, I can't help but walk in the will of God. Doesn't matter what everybody says, even what I say, what I think, what I feel. Amen. I get my eyes on Jesus. Amen. That means my focus is on him. And the enemy cannot distract me away from the will of God. The will of God is where we prosper. The will of God is where we get blessed. The will of God is where we have protection. In Jesus' name, amen. Let that be done for Charles and Nikki, Father, right now by the power of God. Amen. Prosper them. Amen. 803-991. Can I talk to you from, please? Are you there? All right. I believe that is Angela Lanham. It is. All right, Angela, I got you. That's your covered girl. Thank you, Lord. Think about you today. I just thought about you today. I was thinking, you know, how's she doing? What's going on with Angela? My friend Angela. Thank you, Jesus, for blessing her, God. Thank you, Lord, for opening her up. Thank you, Lord, for prospering her, God, in her emotional realm, in her mental realm. In her ability to understand treasures, understand deep thought, understand the secret things of God, to understand those things, to be able to see them. Angela, you have a real, the people you follow, you know, or you look at, or you look to, you look for the deep things. You look for the deep things. You know why? It's not even that you're going to find those deep things with too much of anybody. It's so much as it is that it's happening in you, and it's in you. There's this thing of you want the deep, the secret things of God. God's called you to the secret thing. Amen. To the secret place, to the secret things, and because of that, guess what? You're going to go there. What does the secret place mean? That means God's going to trust you with his secrets. That means private, secret information, prophetic information, information that is secret, that is not everybody gets, you know, that is, you know, things to come, that kind of thing. You have a calling. That's why you're drawn to PGN. And God's nurturing that. He's showing you how to walk in that, showing you how to live in that, showing you how to hear his voice and to get those secret things. You just have a natural, it's super natural, to the secret things and to the mysterious things of God. And that's because God has called you to it, because he's going to give them to you. Amen. They are yours. They belong to you. Amen. Don't they ever let anybody tell you, girl. God didn't tell that stuff to anybody. Oh, yeah? Well, he is to me. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. And they don't want to believe it. They don't want to get the information. You have to pay the price for it. You have to be a giver. You have to give your life away. You have to give your life to Jesus. He who loses his life in me gains life, gains what? Gains revelation, gains wisdom, gains the secrets. Amen. In Jesus' name, be blessed with that. Amen. 769-220, who am I talking to you from, please?
It's Andrika in Georgia.
Andrika. Oh, hi, Andrika. All right, Andrika. Thank you, Lord, Andrika. For Andrika tonight, God, I thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. The worshiper in you. Oh, dear God. You check up. I just see Karen Wheaton. I don't know if you know who Karen Wheaton is. I see her. I thought about her. Karen Wheaton. You may not even know who she is, but she has, you know, she's a worshiper. She has worked with young people. She loves young people. You know, I don't know if you know who she is or not. I think you probably do. But anyway, the worshiper in her. She's a worshiper. That's how she gets places. She's a worshiper. The worshiper. Lord, I just speak to the worshiper inside of Andrika, God. The worshiper, the singer, the worshiper. It's you that sings the songs of the Lord. That when they did the battle where they sent up the singers, you know. I mean, my Lord and my God, that was amazing. Singers? Yeah, because there's something about worship, and the worshiper in you, Andrika, is going to reach, and it's going to reach places and go places that you normally can't go. There's something about worship that breaks the walls down of things that nothing else breaks the walls down. But thank you, Lord, for activating the worshiper inside of Andrika, God. The worshiper, like Jesus was a worshiper. He loved to worship the Father. Hallelujah. And worship isn't just singing only, but it, and worship, you know, singing worship, but it is a place with God of bowing down to Him. Just bowing down to Him in your life. Bowing down to Him and think, God, you're greater than I am. You're great. You're awesome. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Open up the windows of our soul, God. The windows of our soul can speak, can sing out to God the glory, giving glory to God, giving glory to God in the highest. You know, you want to reach into the glory and take the glory and receive the glory? You're going to give him the glory. You receive the glory. Oh, there you go, Andrika. Giving him the glory. Hallelujah. It's the way you receive the give and you shall receive. Give and it shall be given. Give him the, as you give him the glory in your worship. Hallelujah. The spirit of worship. I speak to the altar of incense in you, girl, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The fire of God in the incense of heaven, the prayers of saints rising up, even in song. Hallelujah. Penetrating things that can't be penetrated any other way than through worship. And the, you have a spirit of worship. I don't care if you can sing a lick. I don't even know if you can sing. I've never heard you sing before. I don't think you can sing. It doesn't even make any difference, as you know. It's a spirit of worship. I can't really sing. I can carry a tune, but I'm a worshiper, man. Oh, Lord, my God. Hallelujah. I just fire up the altar of incense, God, in the name of Jesus, with your praises, with her praises, with her worship in Jesus' name, bowing down to the Lamb of God. Amen. Saying, not my will, but thy will be done. Hallelujah. I see new tongues. Somebody's having a pain and kind of sort of in your brain. It's in the brain. I don't know who this is. Somebody listening to that kind of having a pain in your mind. If you have a headache, if you have headaches there, in the left-hand side of your brain, above your left eyeball, up maybe what kind of into your scalp area. I don't know who that is, but I don't know if it's some kind of something God's unlocking, your thought processes. I don't know what that is in Jesus' name, but God's doing it for somebody. If it's not you, it could be one of your children, one of your friends. Sometimes I get words for people you're connected to. Hallelujah. God's healing somebody right there in the name of Jesus. A breakthrough in the brain. Hallelujah. I'll take that one. In the name of Jesus, I loosen you, loosen you, loosen you, Andrika. I loosen the people around you. I loosen the people around you. Hallelujah. If you get loose, they'll be loose. They're following you. You're the leader. You're leading. They're following your lead. Ha! You get loose, they get loose. You worship, they're going to worship. They may hide it. They may not let everybody know they're doing it, but they worship. Hallelujah. Paul said, follow me as I follow the Lord. Hallelujah. We learn how to follow Jesus. People follow. That's what they do. Amen. Is they going like there's something good going on? All right, 111, who am I talking to you from, please?
Hi, it's Barbara from Texas.
Oh, hi, Barbara. All right, Barbara, thank you, Jesus, Lord. I thank you for that anointing to break the yokes. The anointing to break the yoke, to heal the sick, to raise the dead. I see a flag. I see a flag being raised up, Barbara, over you. A flag being raised over you. A flag, and it's a flag of God, I don't know. And that, you know, the healing virtue of Christ, the healing virtue of Christ flowing through your broken body. Right, like we talk about how the healing of Christ flows through his broken body. In other words, his body's not broken in a sense, but it was broken for us. And you understand broken body. You've had a broken body. You've had, you know, a lot of brokenness in your body. And all that is working for good for God to flow his healing virtue through you. Hallelujah. He was broken for us. He was bruised for us. He was bruised. So sometimes we get bruised. Sometimes we get broken, so that his healing virtue, his power can flow through us. in the name of Jesus. Let it flow, let it flow, let it flow like a river. Crown her with that glory, God. I give you the glory for being the restorer, the resurrection, the resurrector of life, bringing people from sickness into health, from death into life in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, 612-991, who I talk to you from, please.
Hi, Randy. This is Joyce from Minnesota.
Hi, Joyce. All right, Joyce. Good. Thank you. Good to have you tonight. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for Joyce. God, I thank you for making her happy, God. Do you want Joyce happy? God, and I thank you for making her happy, God. I thank her happiness. God, in Jesus' name, we all have different levels of happiness. We're happy with certain parts of our life and unhappy with other parts. Because that's the way it is. You know, being unhappy means we got godly sorrow towards something. Like God wants it to be better. He wants us to have that area of our life to be more blessed, to be more prosperous. So we have like a burden about it, or a sorrow, a godly sorrow about it. Godly sorrow isn't like worldly sorrow. It's a completely different thing. It's like it draws, godly sorrow draws in the change. Godly sorrow, it draws in the change. That's what the change, the repentance. The repentance is the change of something, where something gets changed, whether your children get changed, you know, your body, whatever you do, that things get changed. It draws in a change, right? So the areas that you're doing good in, you're happy with that, but the ones that you're not, you have a godly sorrow about it. And that's a God thing. And we all have that in a certain degree. Some people can't figure out why they have godly sorrow. And they think, well, I shouldn't be sorrowful, I should be happy. No, because you know what? You're sorrowing, you're burdening, you're groaning for the glory of God, the blessings of God, the perfect will of God, in Jesus' name, where no thief can rob or steal. Everything comes from heaven to you, even though it's in the earth. It comes from heaven, or it comes from God, and therefore the thief can't steal it, kill it, or destroy it, in Jesus' name. It can't rust. It can't be corrupted. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, God, and my sister, Father. Right now, pour your glory into her, God. Pour your glory and prosper her, God, as her soul is prospering, as her soul goes from godly sorrow to drawing in the victory, drawing in the change, drawing in the perfect will of God, Father. In the name of the Lord, for my sister, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, 903-619, can we talk to you from, please?
Hello, this is Megan from Texas.
Megan from Texas? Okay, Megan. Hi, Megan. All right, Megan, good to have you from Texas. All right, thank you for Megan. Well, we thank you for Megan tonight, God. We thank you, Lord, for all the counterfeits that you're exposing. And because the counterfeit just shows that whatever was done was not sent by God, was not done by God. Maybe the enemy tries to do it. Maybe people try to do it. You know, we have all different kind of reasons. The counterfeit can be, it's not just like it's a demonic thing. The counterfeit can just be things that that's better than nothing, you know. I take that, but we all done that. Counterfeit comes all the time before the real. But God says, get ready for the real. Get ready for the real. Get ready. Prepare yourself for the real. Prepare yourself for the blessing. Prepare yourself like you believe it's coming, like you know it's coming. Prepare yourself for it. Like you want, like some people want to get married. Say, go get you something like a wedding dress or something and start putting it on and walk around the house and look, I'm married. Like prophetic acts that we do. Yeah, or you're believing God for a job. We'll get you some something that looks like a job you're working on or something. Whatever job you want to, like, you're working at McDonald's, we'll get you like a hat and put McDonald's on it. Or you know, we'll work at the library, get you a hat and put the library on it. Like, go to, and do some prophetic acts and believe God that whatever you're needing, whatever you're wanting, whatever you're desiring, that you start acting it out in Christ, that you start putting it, you know, into action, and like you really believe it. God, I believe it. I know it. Look at me. I'm the guys, the farmers who found it was going to rain. Nobody thought it was going to rain, but there's a word, it's going to rain. So one farmer goes out and digs a bunch of ditches and gets kind of like a couple of places for like a big pond or small pond. When the water came, it would save it. But the other farmers, they just kind of like, they didn't really believe it. They didn't prepare for it. When the rain came, all they got was the rain that came. But the farmers who knew and believed it was coming went out and dug ditches and got ready for it. It's like Noah built the ark. Amen? Yeah, build that ark, girl. Whatever God's telling you to do. All right, 903-9808. Who am I talking to, friend, please? 903-808, are you there? 903-808. 903-808. Are you there? Can you compare? All right, that's my genie friend. Thank you, Lord, for Jeannie. And she was saying, thank you, Lord, for Jeannie. God, we thank you for the river of life, for that flow of the river. In Jesus' name inside her, God, that you're going to show her how to, as she taps into the never-ending, never-dying flow, like I've talked about before, earlier tonight even, that when I'd learned how to quit selling and start giving the Word of God away that I got, you know, everything, not selling one thing, gave it all away. It started giving. Man, I started getting so much revelation. It was unbelievable because I learned how to tap into the eternal flow. Most people, they get bits and pieces. Little here, little there. Hey, that's great when it comes from God. But you know what? That eternal flow, whether it's being a worshiper, and worship songs, and worship music, and worship singing, tunes, and tones, you know, songwriters and musicians, you know, and they learn how to tap into that flow. They get into a flow about it. Whatever that flow is, whether it's preaching the Word of God, teaching the Word of God, you know, helping people do whatever they do, and tap into the flow, that eternal flow, how to give when we give. And realize that the Bible says it's better to give than it is to receive. But like I said to somebody earlier tonight, you know, when you give, you got to be ready because you're going to receive more, right? You give, the more you give, the more you're going to receive. So if you got your giver out and you're giving a lot, but you don't really have your receiver out and ready to receive more, then and your receiver has to grow as big or bigger than your giver. Because when it comes back to you, it comes back to you good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over. All right, when you gave 50. When it comes back, it comes back 150 or whatever, 550. So your receiver has to be bigger. So God is making your receiver bigger. He's causing you to groan and travail, to be burdened with you know, what's the next, God? Where am I coming short? You know, I do that all the time. God, where am I coming short? I got a lot of blessings in my life. But you know what? I come short in some areas. God, I want to be full. I want to be in the eternal flow. So teach me how to give and also show me how to open up my receiver so I can receive. Your receiver has to be bigger than your giver. Amen. It's more blessed to give than it's received. But the more you give, the more blessed you are in giving. And you have a receiver that can receive more. That's most people's problem. They're good givers, but learn to receive is a whole different procedure, a whole different thing. So, God, I thank you for not just for me and Jeannie, but for all your people that, God, we learn how to receive more so we can give more. We have bigger givers. We have bigger givers than we do receivers. You got to have a bigger receiver than you do giving. You give more, you give, the more you receive. So your receiver has to be huge, big. Open up her receiver to that, God, as she receives messages, information, songs, music, money, whatever those things are, God, friends, friendship, anointing, blessings, in Jesus' name, let it be done, God, right now by the power of God, that eternal flow, that eternal river of blessing, and whatever it is, amen, amen, it's all, yeah, all right, 940-224.
Hold on, I got
940-224, you there?
This is Michael from Texas.
Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Michael? Yes. Okay, thank you. All right. I thought maybe you had a special prayer question another way. All right, thank you, Michael. Thank you, Jesus, for Michael. God, thank you for thumbs up. I feel like the Lord's giving you thumbs up. You know, it's coming. It's coming. The Lord's saying it's coming. Thumbs up. Get ready. Like, it's a get ready thumbs up. It's like, okay, you know, here we come. You know, if God blesses us, brother, whether we think we deserve it or not, whether we think we're perfect or not, it doesn't make any difference. You know, when God gets ready to, because he looks at our heart, You know, he looks at our heart of faithfulness. You know, when we make a mistake, we give it to him. He loves that. When we make a mistake, we give it to him. Instead of hiding it from him and all that kind of thing, we give it to him. God, you know what I did? Here it is. Here's my mistake. I mean, bless it. And so that's what God loved about David, that David had a heart for God. That when whatever he did, he didn't hide it from God. He said, God, here you go. This is it. This is me. God goes, that's what I love about you, David. You just open up and you share it all. You give it all. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Lord, for Michael, God. That's the way Michael is, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Bless him, Jesus, for his honesty, for his truthfulness, God, for his ability to be honest with you. Thank you for that with him, Jesus. Thank you for blessing him with it. Thank you for honoring him. Thank you for raising him up. Thank you, Lord, for bringing him that wife, God, and that family, in Jesus' name, so he can be the father that he's always wanted to be, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. A woman that would draw the good out of him, the God out of him. Amen, in Jesus' name. And when he struggles and battles like we all do, she'd be there to stay with him and stick with him and be his best friend. Amen. Faithful and loyal to the end. Amen. All right. All right, 402-650. Who is Dr. Refrain, please? All right. Hey, John. John and Melissa. All right, John and Melissa, I see you. Thank you, Lord, for John and Melissa. God, I thank you for the pasture, the green pastures, God, the green pastures, that you bring them into the green pastures. In other words, that provision, so they can feel secure, that they can have a security. Where now they start, what they concern themselves with is not having whether secure or not, or what they're going to do with the extra that they get. What do we do with the extra we get? Spend it on us, or spend it on somebody else, or spend it on God? What are we going to spend it on? It'd be all of the above. Yeah, all of the above. That'd be fine. Whatever God says. Thank you, Lord, that you're preparing them for where they're going to spend their excess, their blessings, in Jesus' name. Start preparing that they start thinking, okay, God's going to bless me. I'm going to start thinking, thinking bigger and letting God open my mind up. We can only think bigger when we realize we're thinking too short, and we say, God, we're thinking too short. Then he opens up our mind. We think bigger. We try to open up our own mind sometimes. It doesn't work very well. It says that Jesus opened up their mind when they ate bread with him. He opened their mind. Lord, I thank you for opening John and Melissa's minds, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, they can think bigger the right way, not because they're trying to do it, because you're doing it through a blessing, God. Open them up in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Think bigger, know bigger, and get ready for the extra blessings. In Jesus' name, that prosperity from the Father, from God. Amen. Because John knows what to do with it. Amen. All right, 214-434. Who may talk to your friend, please?
This is Kimberly in Texas.
Hey, Kimberly. All right, Kimberly, good to have you tonight, Kimberly. Thank you, Lord, for Kimberly, God. I thank you, Father, for her friends, God, the friendship in Jesus' name that you bring, God, that you have. She asks, God, that her friends will be true friends of God, that you're going to bring in her friends that are friends of God. When you're a friend of God, that means you're a friend to somebody no matter what they're going through. Unless they're in total rebellion and trying to beat up on yours when you get around them. You know, we have people that when we're friends, that we're friends of God. If you're a friend of God, Kimberly, and that you have friends of God, and God brings you friends that are his friends. Amen. They may not think exactly everything like the way you think, but they're still friends of God. Amen. I have friends of God who are Catholics. I have friends of God who are Church of Christ. I have friends of God who are Baptists. And they're truly godly people. And they think differently in some ways. And I don't agree with everything they say, but they're friends of God. They bring them. So God, I thank you, Lord, for bringing that friendship for Kimberly, God, the friendship of God. And she's the friends of God. In her life, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, let it be done, God. Let it be done. Just satisfy her, Father, with that friendship from heaven, from the Lord Jesus, hallelujah, and knowing, God, that she's being watched over and taken care of, knowing that somebody's got her back, God, in Jesus' name, here in the earth, and have a covenant with people the covenant people, the friends of God, and she draw them in, God, bless them with them. And those that she's around, God, let them reveal their friendship that's from you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, Kimberly, God bless you. All right, 504-282, you want to talk to me for a minute, please? Echo 504-282. Okay. 504, thank you, Jesus, 504. Well, I think for my friend tonight, Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for that place of God where we sacrifice and give to you. That, God, you just don't leave us hanging. You, when we sacrifice and give to you and go beyond what we have to do, God, you bless us. You open it up. You give us more happiness. You give us more joy. But you're always giving us something. Now, thank you for my friend, God. You're giving my friend more that they will understand that giving is not just about money, although that we need that, we got to have that, we need more of that, but it's about, you know, the different things that you give us. You give us so many different things. You give us joy, you give us peace, you give us love, you give us understanding, and thank you, God, for that, in Jesus' name. And thank you, Lord, that they will begin to see all the different ways that you give love. They give friendship. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, that you are attaching to them the ability to see where you're adding to them, where you're blessing them, that they will, that the devil will blind you from not being able to see where God is blessing you, and that you're grateful for that and thankful for that. Because when Jesus didn't have enough, he had five loaves, two fish to feed 5,000 men, much less their families, their children. It was like, you know, 20, 30,000 people. He didn't have enough. What did he do? He blessed it, broke it. He gave thanks for it. Blessed it and broke it. He gave thanks for it. Blessed it and broke it. We did. God began to bless. In Jesus' name. So I thank you, Lord, for my friends. In Jesus' name, it's learning how to give thanks. All right. All right, 832-231. Who wants to talk to you from, please?
Tasha from Texas.
Who? Tasha?
Tasha from Texas.
Tasha from Texas. Thank you, Tasha. All right, Tasha. Thank you, Jesus, for Tasha. Father, I thank you, Lord, for learning how to, you know, the Bible talks about Paul argued scripture, and it didn't mean that he was a scribe or in contention. When he arguing, it's like an attorney goes and argues. Like if you had an attorney and you were in court, he would be arguing, you know, a case. It's not like he was getting sassy with the judge, or he's arguing your case. In other words, they're saying bad things, and he's saying good things. He's arguing the fact that, no, my client is a good person, would do the right thing. And I thank you, Jesus, for that with my sister, God, that she sees how to argue her case. She learns how to stand before God and intercede before God and bringing forth the right things and good things. In Jesus' name, and the successful things, being sure what success is, in Jesus' name, that she began to see what success is and how to come in agreement and how to argue the word of God. In other words, arguing means standing in the gap and saying, no, devil, you're a liar. And you argue a case, like God's going to use you like an attorney, to argue your case, argue other people's cases before the throne room of God. Then God, you know, I know the devil's, this person made mistakes, they failed. But you know what? Jesus has forgiven them. They are forgiven. Now restore them. Keep them out of prison. Keep them out of jail. Give them another chance. You know, you see arguing a case. Like God's really going to show you how to do that, how to stand in the gap for people and believe God for blessings on their life. Instead of letting the devil bring, you know, curses on them and destroy them, help them get in a place of obedience to God where God can bless them. Amen. And argue their case before like an attorney would. And God's showing you how to do that in your behalf, as well as giving your time to to God for that. Yeah, it's going to plant these seeds. And, like, you know, if you don't really argue, if somebody comes in and says, your sisters are sorry, no good, piece of trash, and you don't stand up and you argue with them, that means you agree with them. Oh, yeah, she is kind of sorry. If you disagree, you're going to say, you're going to, no, you don't know my sister this, my sister that, and you argue with them. You present your argument about your sister being better, you know, so it's like, yeah, if that makes sense. All right, 972-695, I'm going to talk to you from, please.
Hey, Randy, it's Terrence and Tanisha from Texas. And can you also pray for Tyrese?
Tyrese? Absolutely.
Yes.
Ma'am, I sure can. I sure can. Hallelujah. Tyrese. Yeah, I haven't thought about Tyrese in a while. All right, Lord Tyrese. Ooh, I just feel a real joy with Tyrese. I don't know what's going on. Thank you, Lord, for victory with Tyrese. Hallelujah. Ooh, I feel an anointing right now for Tyrese. I don't know what that is. Whoa, my God. Come on, Lord. Bless him. Favor. Open doors. In Jesus' name. Close the doors of the wicked one. Open the doors to the righteous one. Hallelujah. Close the doors to the wicked one. Open the doors to the righteous one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah for Tyrese, God. And I just feel a victory going on there. I don't know what's happening. I don't have a clue what's going on, as you know. But thank you, Jesus. I just feel an anointing on him. God, I thank you for the anointing on Tyrese. My Lord and my God. Woo! Dear Jesus, bring him into the new place, the place of grace, to bless himself, forgive himself, bless himself, to bring blessing on himself, God. Sometimes we have to bless ourselves. Nobody else will bless us. David knew how to encourage himself in the Lord. Why? Because sometimes that's the way it has to go. We may be the only people that really truly know how to encourage ourselves. And I thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah for Tyrese, God, for that anointing, that prophetic anointing, that prophet anointing him, God, to stand up in righteousness and in godliness. In Jesus' name, stand up for the rights of others. In Jesus' name, stand in the gap. Stand in their behalf. Hallelujah. All the cracks, filling the cracks, making it new in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Even giving a new facelift to the situation, to the thing, to the cause. God, there's a cause going on. There's a cause. There's a purpose for Tyrese Selaka. Let that cause be made known to him, God. She's saying you called him to be like an attorney in a sense, to stand in the gap for others and to make sure that they get what they need, what really belongs to them, instead of what evil wants to bring them, but what righteousness, what God wants to bring them. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. God can bless you with that gift. All right, and Terrence and Tanisha, we thank for Terrence, God. We bless Terrence with that, God, that his voice will be used to swallow up death. His voice to swallow up death, to swallow up death. Death can be in all kinds of different forms. Death can be financially. Death can be physically. Physical illness. Death can be, you know, discouragement and despondency. Death. Thank you, Lord, for the power to conquer death, God, in Terrence, in Jesus' name, in people's lives with his voice. In the name of Jesus, swallowing up death with life, with victory, with the sounds of heaven. In Jesus' name. God, no compromise. God, I think that there's no compromise in this world. No crime. Terrence doesn't want any compromise. God, we think for no compromise. We only believe in Jesus. We only believe the word of God. We only believe what God says, not what people say, and not what the devil says, what people think, what the devil thinks, or what we think. Well, we think what God thinks. We think the thoughts of God. We think correctly. And that's his process, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, for Tanisha, God, I think for Tanisha, God, thank you, Lord, for giving her the great courage to stand. Great courage for Joshua to stand. And this whole new thing going on, he was having to stand. And the fear was trying to come all over him. Fear was trying to come all over him. It's like fear tries to come on up. Fear tries to come on Tanisha, I'm sure, at times. and try to tell us, you know, it's not going to work for you. It's not going. You know, it's not gonna, and I see that the spirit of faith rising up within you, like Joshua did, with a captain posted there, where the Lord said, you know, be courageous, be strong, be courageous. Hallelujah. Amen. Because the fear, he was heading toward a place of fear. You know, the walls of Jericho were just full of fear. There's no way they're going to conquer that. Without God, you're going to die. You're going to get killed. It's going to be over. There's going to be any victory in that. And it was so impossible. And I think the Lord just gave the simple key was giving him courage. The simple key to Tanisha's victory, fathers, is always courage. Courage, courage, God. Give her courage in Jesus' name. Because we're going to confront issues and problems because we're called to big things. Guess that we're called to how to stand with courage. Courage calls you to look that thing in the face and say, God and me and God, the God that lives in me, he's bigger than you. He's greater than you. I'm going to do what he says. Hallelujah, because God's giving you courage, girl, to give courage to other people too. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, courage. Like I see you being the captain of the host of the army of the Lord and giving people courage. I mean, like he did to Joshua, too. All right. Awesome. 903-253. Can we talk to your friend, please? Hello? Here comes 903-253. Are you there?
Yes. Hi, Randy.
Yes. Can I talk to you? Hi.
This is Clay from Texas.
It's who?
Carla from Texas.
Oh, hi, Carla. All right, Carla. Good day, Carla. All right, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for Carla from Texas. In Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you, Father, for showing her how to, give to God what belongs to God and give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and everything else belongs to you. Right? Yeah. And that's the true balance of how we do things. And so God's showing you how to give to God what belongs to God, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, because we do have to, you know, like have that balance of knowing that we live in a world that, you know, that things have to be taken care of, just like in the church. That's what the tithe and the offering for is, for the church to be taken care of. And bless us when we give to God what belongs to God, like Jesus told, he said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. So we thank you, Jesus, you've given her the wisdom on how to handle those things so that she can have the full balance blessing, Father, in her life, and she'd stay. Open that up, Father, right now by the power of God, and bring your life to her, Jesus. Bring your victory to her, God, and show her, in Jesus' name, that you have life and hope and victory, Father. Hallelujah. Bring it forth in the name of Jesus. Open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on her. In Jesus' name, every compromising thing that would come against her, God, she will rise up in Jesus' name. Speak the voice of God to those situations. Speak the word of God to them in Jesus' name by the Holy Ghost in the name of the Lord. Amen. All right, 847-505. Can we talk to everyone, please?
Hi, this is Marja from Illinois.
Hi, Marja. All right, Marja, good to have you. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for Marjorie, Father. I thank you for the turning of the corner, turning the corner, God. She's turning the corner. When you turn the corner, it's like you're walking down the street, you don't see nothing, doesn't look like nothing, you know, nothing really going on. Then she turns the corner and goes, oh, my gosh, here it comes. Here it is. Here it is. Here it comes. Here it is. I see it coming. I can see it. It's like when you turn the corner, you can start seeing ahead. You can start seeing what's coming instead of, you know, not just dreaming about it, hoping about it, but you can actually see it. Faith is a substance. Faith is a substance margin of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. I mean, the evidence of things not seen. But when we come to that place where we start seeing it, then our faith that we've been working at without seeing anything, we start seeing it. You know, that means your faith is coming to fulfillment. And that's what I keep seeing the Lord say. Amen. Don't give up. Don't give in. As you yield over to God and let him bring it to you in Jesus' name, as you pursue him, it will pursue you. If you're pursuing it for him, he is pursuing it. It is pursuing it for you, Margaret. In the name of Jesus, activate her account, God. Let her account, like you open a bank account, you activate that by, you know, putting money in or whatever, activating accounts, all kinds of accounts, God, you're activating her life. In the name of Jesus, activate them, Father. Amen. Activate her faith. Let it become real. Let it become manifest. All right, 831-596. Can we talk to her, please?
Hi, Randy. It's Noelle out in California.
Hey, Noelle. All right, Noelle. Good to hear from you. All right, thank you, Jesus, for Noelle. Thank you, Lord, for the market room, God. We thank you, Lord, for the wisdom of revelation, for the insight, for revelation from heaven on the market, God, for the market room, in Jesus' name. Opening that up and giving her insight, Father, and not just the market, not just like the stock market, but the housing market, other markets, like, you know, there's all different kinds of markets, the whole market realm, and God starts giving you wisdom on that. God starts speaking to you about that. God starts opening you up to those things. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, like Joseph kind of had that thing on him where he was, you know, God opened him up to the markets of the world, where he ended up, because of that, feeding the world, if you will, through his blessing that he got when his brother came bow down to him, because his sheaves were greater than their sheaves. He was called to rule over the brothers, and he was not the firstborn, you know. He was the firstborn, actually, of Abraham, I mean, of Jacob. Jacob and Rebecca, it was Jacob. And but he was, you know, the younger among many of those. So I don't know what that has to do with anything, but thank you, Jesus, for Noel, God, that just like Joseph, Father, she's going to rule. She's going to have that revelation, Father, of that. You were showing Joseph in the dream that he had an anointing or a calling of the markets. You know, we talk about economy, talk about food. His sheaves represented economy, represented provision and wealth. And so I thank you, Lord, for that vision and that purpose in Noel, God, for the markets. Amen, the markets, all kinds of markets. Open her up to that, Jesus. Let the revealing of Christ begin in those areas like never before. Amen, hallelujah. Take the knowledge that she has in the natural and turn it into spiritual knowledge, Father. Words from God and the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. All right, 864-439. Who would talk to you real quickly? Are you there?
Oh, okay, you got me. Hey, this is Walter.
Walter, okay, Walter, thank you. Yeah, this is your first name, even though and where you're from, that's all I need to know. Thank you, Walter, for that. God bless you, Walter. Thank you, Jesus, for bringing Walter through that place of dryness, that dry, that in the, you know, because Isaac, you know, prospered and walked a hundredfold in the midst of famine. Lord, I thank you for activating his faith and that ability to walk in blessing in the midst of, you know, a culture and a people and whatever, the world that's in lack, that God, you should let his faith be released in the lack, in the realm of lack. David says that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. Amen. That thank you, Lord, for that revelation, for that scripture, for that power, that word. For the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, I shall not lack anything. Because let me read that. All right. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Again, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for my brother. Can you teach him how to lie down in green pastures? Psalms 23, verse 1. Hallelujah. Let it be done, God. I shall not want thy righteousness. My soul shall be clothed with your glorious dress, my blood washed, my robe, hallelujah, shall be fairer than the garments of kings. God, I thank you, Lord, for blessing my brother in Jesus' name. Cause him to draw in from the wealth of your blessing, God, in Jesus' name. This belongs to your children. He's your child. You're not left him. You're not forsaken him. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, you're going to bring that blessing. From the cross of Calvary, I hear him crying out, it is finished, it is finished, it is finished, my brother, it is finished, Walter, in Jesus' name, it is finished. Amen. 3 days later, he rose up from the dead. Amen. Receive that right now. In the name of Jesus. All right. People text me. Thank you. All right. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Where are we at here? 864. I think I just prayed away 64439, right? Didn't I just do that? Yeah, I think it's it. All right. 321-230. I'm going to talk to Ruth Prim, please.
Hi, this is Ashley from Florida.
Ashley from Florida? Okay. Ashley, thank you.
All right, Ashley.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Lord, for my sister tonight, Father. Thank you, Lord, for the freedom of the press, like God giving you freedom to share your heart, to talk plainly to Him, and Him talk plainly to you. Amen. Conversation with God. He always understands that we don't know everything. He talks to us like we're His children. That He's, in the press, like the press, like the information realm, in the latter days should be a lot of knowledge going on. And God wants you to walk in the knowledge realm, the knowledge. He wants to give you knowledge of things. My sister, in Jesus' name, and that when you ask, you shall receive. And what you receive a lot of times is the knowledge how to do something. Sometimes we how to get something even, like how to get a car. Like say you're praying for a car, but God doesn't give you a car. He gives you knowledge how to get a car. We need a dress. He didn't give you the knowledge. He didn't give you a dress, but he gives you the knowledge how to get a dress. You see what I'm saying? Knowledge. God's going to give you knowledge on how to do things. Wisdom, knowledge. Like you have the knowledge of how to do something, then you can do it. You become a success. Right. So God download that knowledge, just like in Daniel, in the days of Daniel. Daniel was praying 21 days delay. What was the big breakthrough? The big breakthrough was knowledge. It was information. And I thank you, Lord, for my sister, God. You give her that information that she needs. Because information causes a thing to be. Everything that's created was created through a word. Amen. Through information, through words. Nothing was created without the word, without words, without information. And show her that whole realm, that place of how to pray the right prayers and say the right things. And saying the right thing, praying the right prayer, it's extremely important. If we pray it wrong, we miss it. We don't get it. We pray right. We speak the right information. We pray the right words. We get it. It happens. So thank you, Lord, for her faith in you, Jesus, and that clarity of showing her how to pray, how to speak the right words, information, so to get the answers and the victory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let it be done for her right now. In the name of the Lord, amen. All right, 919-801, who am I talking to you from, please? 919-801, who am I talking to you from? Hello? 919, are you there? All right. Thank you, Lord, for 919. We thank you, Jesus, for suspending time, giving more time for things to happen, to come to pass. Well, we thank you for that you're not going to run short on time. You know, something about running short on time, sometimes time can be your worst enemy or your best friend. And I thank you, Jesus, that time will become my friend, best friend in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Time to do things, time to move into things, time to move past it, time to work things, time to learn. You got time, given time, an extension of time in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for working things out, for showing them how to do it and giving them the time to figure it out and the time to seek you and find you and give answers in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Things that seem to be on the surface are not where the victory is at. The things that bring victory are in the roots. They're, can't be seen. It takes faith. And that God is activating your faith so you can see what goes on beyond the surface, below the surface, things that you can't see, things that you don't know. What's happening below there? Is something going on? What's happening? What's going on in the hidden things, the secret things? Thank you, Lord, for opening up the secret areas, the secret arena. In Jesus' name, where they can see what's going on behind closed doors, where they can know what you're doing, what you're not doing, and make decisions on what you say instead of what they see, or what you say instead of what they see. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, 951-966, and we'll talk to Refrain, please.
Hi, this is Regina.
Oh, hi, Regina. All right, thank you, Regina. Thank you, Lord, for Regina, Father. Thank you for that supernatural realm, God, that we're in a battle over supernatural. And, the devil has supernatural power, and so does God. But God's power, just like with Moses, when Moses went to Egypt, it was a supernatural power of Egypt, of Satan, of the world, against God. And we have the same thing. So people think there's no power in all that, but there is. It's lies and deceptions. It's trickery. It's, So God wants to show you and give you more that the understanding, the revelation, the faith to know that God's power always overcomes. God, Moses' rod that turned into a serpent swallowed up their rod, Pharaoh's rods that were turned into serpents. They literally turned into serpents. So I don't know how they did that. I don't want to know that, but the power of that is very real. That God shows that we don't have to be afraid of it. We can acknowledge that it is real. And deal with it from that perspective that God's rod always swallows up the enemy's rod. So I thank you, Lord, for that with Regina's life, God, that the rod through her, the authority through her, God, always swallows up. In Jesus' name. It's Jesus' name. Let it swallow up, God. Let it draw up. Let it teach her how to use the rod that you've given her. Sometimes Moses used the rod to open the Red Sea. Sometimes he caused it to turn the water into blood. Whatever it is needed to do, God, they will be able to do that. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Supposed to bring a plague. Sometimes like Paul the Apostle, if you will, spoke blindness over somebody once because for some reason they were trying to hinder the gospel. And so God, through Paul, blinded them, spoke blindness to them, they were blinded. So he had to learn how to use his authority for the kingdom of God's sake. Not just for our sake, but for the kingdom. Moses was interested in that rod thing was for the kingdom of God's sake. Paul's authority, all of their authority was for the kingdom of God's sake. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for showing Regina, Father, more and more how to walk in the rod, the power of the rod, power of authority that you've given her. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort. Sometimes the rod comforts us. Sometimes it destroys the enemy. In Jesus' name, the power in the rod, the power in her authority, in Jesus' name, and showing how to walk in that, live in that, dwell in that realm of authority, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Even in the financial arena, amen, how to, use the rod to get the blessing, amen, for what God has. Hallelujah. bring blessings to the kingdom of God, bring blessings to the kingdom of Regina. Regina has her kingdom, and her kingdom is built by God, right? Kingdom is built through her obedience to God. Our kingdoms are built to last. Everything we do through Jesus will last. It will not fail. The enemy will try to conquer, take it down, and it will not. It cannot be burned up by fire. The wolf may try to blow it down, but it's not going to be blown down. Amen in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, 608-960. Who would talk to you from, please?
Hey, Shannon, Wisconsin.
All right, hey, Shannon. My brother. All right, thank you, Jesus, for Shannon. God, I thank you, Lord, for the confidence you've given him. Father, that a new level of confidence, not confidence in his flesh, but confidence in the spirit. And, yeah. So thank you, Jesus, for that confidence level. That confidence level, God, that this whole thing's about confidence. Sometimes when we lose a battle, we lose confidence. It's happened to me. Knock the wind out of your sails, right? God has to put new wind in your sails. And I thank you, Lord, for getting new wind in his sails, that he will see that he can take confidence in you, Jesus. He can trust in you. He can know you. He can sense that you are doing something. That it's not just whether he's doing everything perfect or not. He just has a gentle heart to seek you, to want your will, to desire your will, God. And then you do it because you're gracious, because you're kind, because you're a loving Father. And that is confidence being that in God more than in himself, Father. But as he gets confident in God, he starts getting confidence in the fact that he can trust God and believe God. In Jesus' name, open that up, God. In Jesus, let it be very sincere, very beautiful, very powerful. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, 480-637, who I talked to you from, please. 480-637. Oops. All right, Shannon, I think I had your mic open there. All right, 480-637, are you there? Hello, 480. Okay. 480-637, are you there? Hang on a minute here. All right, 480-637. Let me meet you. Hang on a second here. Give me just a moment. All right, I'm back. All right, 480-637. Thank you, 480. Thank you, Lord, for the major issues, the major things, that God, have you focused on the things that are important and the things that are not. He's going to show you how to just, like, you know, put first things first and focus on those, that way you don't burn yourself with trying to get everything done, do everything right, do everything perfect. Focus on the major things. God will show you the top three things, so to speak, of things, and you focus on doing that and doing it, you know, the best you can. And as you conquer that and grow on that, then you add more to it. And don't overburden yourself with things, and let people overburden yourself with things. Take one thing at a time until you take two things at a time, and then three things at a time, and four things at a time, and grow into it. God's showing you how to grow into him. We move and live and have our being in him. We learn how to grow into all that. It doesn't just come automatically. Because we got God, means we got to learn to work with God, right? I always have to learn to work with God. And believe me, it's a lot to learn to work with him, right? Yeah, so God's showing you how to do that. Amen. All right. 805-424, who may I talk to you from, please?
Hi, it's Anonymous and for Leon.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Anonymous. Leon. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Anonymous and Leon. Amen. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for an honor. Well, we thank you that you open up that area of her heart, God, to trust you on how to handle things, how to deal with things, so that she doesn't overwhelm herself with trying to fix everything and always fixing everything. But we learn to let you fix things, and we just do what you say. And if you need our help, you're going to say, hey, I need you to do this, and you just go do it. Right? And don't do any more, do any less. You know, learn how to do exactly what he says and what he does, and then don't do anything else, right? So do all we know to do, and then let God do the rest. So I thank you, Jesus, that my friend is learning how to let you give it to you and trust in you. Right? Because you're trying to hang on to something with all your might in the wrong way. You know, then you always have to, you know, fight and wrestle, and it's going to always be. So thank you, Lord, for showing her how to give it over to you, Jesus, Anonymous, in Jesus' name, and give it to you, and bless her with the wisdom, bless her with grace, bless her with such love and friendship with you, Father, that she can fellowship with you in the midst of whatever is messing with her, that she can talk to you about it, you know, good, bad, or ugly, it doesn't matter. She can talk to God about it because he's your friend. He's a lover of your soul. He wants you to be blessed more than you want to be blessed. Amen. All right. So get a hold of that. It's really awesome. All right, Leon. Thank you, Lord, for Leon. Jesus, I thank you for Leon, God, that you teach Leon how to lean on you. Leon, how to lean on you. Yeah, to lean on you, God, to trust you. That's all about trust. It's all about knowing that, you know, the more you trust God, the more you know him. And if you don't know him, how can you trust him, right? If I can't know somebody, how am I going to trust somebody I don't know? How am I going to trust someone that I don't know? Right. So it's getting to know him, Leon, in Jesus' name, and getting to know God, and getting to know that he loves you, getting to know what he's really like, and not just that what some religious spirit says, oh, God, you know, he's mean, he's going to whoop on you, he's a bad guy, he's not a good guy. You know, it's start seeing God for what he really is, the loving, kind Heavenly Father who sent his son, Jesus, to die on the cross for us and give his life for us. I mean, he laid down his life to see him the way he really is, Leon. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's truly amazing. Amen. To see that God desires good for you. He's just looking for you to come and talk to me about it. Yeah, come and talk to me over here, man. I miss you. I want to talk to you. Yeah, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. All right. 111-111-111. Come and talk to your friend, please.
Hey, Randy, Jeff, and Yuki. Calling you from the airport.
Hey. Where are you guys at?
We're in Phuket, and we're headed to Bangkok.
Oh. Oh, that's right. You just sent that to me. We're almost at the Phuket airport going to Bangkok. Okay. Sounds like fun to me.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, good to hear from you guys. All right.
Yeah.
Let's pray for you. All right. All right. Thank you. All right, thank you, Jesus, for Jeff and you. God, we thank you, Lord, that where they're going, what's going on, and the spirit of things, God, catching the spirit of a thing, not just the atmosphere of a thing. There's a lot of different atmospheres that are created, but catching the spirit of a thing. In other words, catching what God is doing. You know, in every culture and everything, God's doing a different thing. And sometimes it's so simple. Some of us have gotten so spiritually, you know, complicated that we forget that God's just trying to win the lost. You know, he's just trying to get people saved, you know. And then when he gets them saved, of course, you got to shepherd them and help them and all that kind of thing. But God's showing you, giving your heart on how to catch the heart of what God is doing in everything he's doing. Because in order to serve it, in order to serve and be a great servant, you pick up the heart of the issues of people. What do they really need? What is it they really need that will help them? And then dealing with the process of how to make them aware of what they need. Because most people are not aware of what they need. They'll be doing something wrong, and they think it's right. You tell them something different, they're going to think you're wrong. So the wisdom on how to get people to think about what's best for them and how to become healthy and how to become blessed and how to think right. And but actually, you know, God's showing you the heart of a matter, the spirit of the matter, the spirit of things. What's God doing? What's he trying to do here? What would draw people to God? You know, what would draw them? What would bring them to want to be a part of what you're doing and what's going on? And to be able to draw them with that drawing point. And it's usually very, really simple, basic needs of a people. And to tap into that and to meet those needs That's what great servants do. They tap into the real needs, the heart of the need of a person and a people, of a culture or whatever, and they tap into that and they meet that need, and therefore they become great servants. And great servants become great. That great servants become blessed because you learn how to serve. So I thank you, Lord, for opening their heart, God, Jeff and Yuki's heart, Father, to be able to know the heart of a matter, the heart of a people, the heart of the root issue of what's going on, what's needed to be done here to make this place a prosperous place, a blessed place. If it's already blessed, make it more blessed. You know, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for that anointing, God. They use Jeff and you together, God, to hand in hand, Father, to do your will, to do your way. That women see things completely different than men do, and she needs and we need to see how a woman thinks about something in the heart of a need, and then how a man thinks about it, and bring those things together, and start mixing those things together in the right way to come up with the right solutions. Right, from a man's perspective from God, from a woman's perspective from God, right? Because God made that, they think different than we do, and we think different than they do, and they think different than we do. So to be able to, you know, understand and be able to grasp the heart of the matter, in Jesus' name, to serve, to be servants, in Jesus' name, to become successful by being the greatest servant of all, right? You know, Jesus knew what people really needed. He went right to the heart of the issue, right? Yeah, if they needed to have teaching, he taught them. They needed to have, you know, a preaching revelation service, that's what they had. Okay. Yeah, he won't say it. Okay, maybe this will be a little bit better. Maybe mumbling a little bit. All right, so basically what, hopefully you can hear that a little better. What was being said was that God show you the heart of the issue of, you know, whatever you're dealing with. In other words, what do the people really need? What is it that they really need, the heart of the issue? Like women think, you know, about issues in a different way, what women need than what men need. And then when women and men think together about the issue of men and women, then they come up with answers. So God's called you to come up with answers or bring answers to situations to fulfill needs. As a great servant fulfill needs, the heart of the matter. What's the heart of the matter with this situation? What's the heart of the matter? What do these people really need to be blessed, to be changed into the image of God, to be healthy, to be wealthy, to be wise, to be blessed? What do they need? What's the heart of the matter? What is it they really need? And God's showing you that. Okay. No, I haven't called your name, sir. I think you're getting close, though. I think you're like a couple down. All right. So thank you, Jeff, and you. Thank you, Lord, for showing them that in order to serve a people, to serve a culture, to serve, you know, you find the basic needs, what they need, and the thing that people know they got to have to live, and you work with that, and then they get to know you, get to love you, get to like you, get to enjoy what you're doing, and then they get you for all the excessive things, the wealthy things, the things that they don't need, the things that they want. You go from needs to wants, and then people trust you with what they need, they buy that from you, they can purchase it from you, you serve them with that, and then they start getting things that they don't need, they just want, and you serve that too. Hallelujah. I said more. Maybe you can get it back on the recording, but sorry about that. I didn't know you couldn't hear me that well. Oh, and you guys disappeared anyway. Oh, you're gone. All right, I lost them. Okay, 251-229,
can we talk through Sarah? Yes, hi, this is Sarah calling from Alabama.
All right, Sarah, thank you, Sarah. Alabama, all right, thank you, Lord, for your communication skills, God, to learn how to communicate, what's important, what's vital. You know, people are looking for one thing, they want to survive, they want to live. They want to live. In order to live, they're going to have, you know, take care of things, like the things that are trying to take them out, the things that are trying to mess with them, the things that are trying to destroy them, to be able to, you know, to pray and ask God to show you how to pray for those things. You know, because people want to live. They want to live, and they want to live a good life. They want to live their life, you know, with family and love and food and fellowship and, you know, be blessed. But mainly it's centered around God. And so I thank you, Lord, for showing Sarah how to pray, how to intercede, and how to think about getting people to a place where they get their basic needs met from God, that everything they get it from God. God shows them how to do it. God shows them from the Word. You give her things, how to communicate those things from the Word through the perspective of the Word of God. And she's saying, hallelujah, open her up to that, God, and teach her and show your ways, God. Show her the ways of God so she can communicate those things to people so they can get their needs met. Amen? Yeah, so they can be fulfilled. God wants to fulfill us. Hallelujah. Yeah, amen. All right. 503-318, you want to talk to me from, please? 503-318.
Hello. Yeah, this is Robin from Oregon.
Deborah from Oregon? Who? Barbara?
Robin from Oregon.
Oh, Robin. Hi, Robin. All right, Robin, good to have you tonight.
Hello.
Right. Yes, hi, good to have you. All right, thank you, Robin. Thank you, Lord, for being with us tonight. As you know, Wednesday we just pray over people and do a lot of talking. Thank you, Robin, Lord, for your for her compassion, Father. That I see you having compassion not only on others but on yourself. God giving you compassion for yourself, Robin. And sometimes, you know, Jesus was moved by compassion. And compassion, when compassion comes, you know, compassion not only comes to others but it comes to us. Sometimes we're giving compassion away when God says, I want to show you compassion. And so compassion is, you know, God, Jesus was moved with compassion. Compassion is what was in him that brought victory, that brought healing, that brought blessing, that brought comfort, that brought peace, that brought blessing, and brought them to get that whatever they needed from God. That's what the compassion does. And I thank you, Jesus, for my sister, God, to enter into that place of a whole new place of receiving compassion. And if you receive compassion, then you can give compassion away, because the compassion comes from God. When it comes from God, it comes to us. We just like love. You receive love. When you drink it in, then you can give love. It's like compassion. When you receive compassion, when you're open yourself up to be able to receive compassion for yourself, then you can receive it to give to others. Then you have it to give to others. Like, yeah, so thank you, Lord, for that. Blessing with Robin, God. Bless her. Make her successful, God. Let her know that compassion just isn't for comforting emotional things. It's for comforting and blessing her in every way. Your financials, her family, her faith. Yeah, in every area, Father, your compassion flows. You move back. I just feel like, Robin, for some reason I feel the compassion of God being moved toward you and your needs and your family. Hallelujah. Open that up, God. In the name of Jesus, compassion, God. Jesus was moved. It moved him. He didn't just sit there. It moved. Things coming towards you. The blessing of God reviving you, restoring you, renewing you, bringing new things in, bringing new people, new things into your life. In Jesus' name, to bless you, to be a blessing. Amen. To add to your life. Given, it shall be given. You know, I would say, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those things will be added to you. You're adding to her life, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, Robin. Good to have you. All right, let's go here to 954-580. Who am I talking to you from, please? Are you there?
Second, everybody.
Nine 54. Are you there, 954? I mean, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for 954. There we go. Okay. Thank you, Lord, for 954. Father, thank you for that thing, when you spent all you can spend, and when you're spent, that means you're spent. You're spent out. And God wants to refill you with new things, fill you with new information, new blessings, new, the refreshing to the Lord come from the blessings of God. And God, I thank you for restoring, for renewing 954 in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Filling them back up, filling this person, my friend back. Fill back up, God. Restore, fill, restore, renew, rebuild, recover. In Jesus' name, all the reeds, the restoration, the reaping, let her reap the blessing in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Comfort, God. In Jesus' name, I speak the spirit of comfort over you right now and the love of God over you. In Jesus' name, the peace of God over you. The God that you draw from the harvest that belongs to you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come forth, harvest. Come forth, harvest, and bless and prosper, my friend, in the name of Jesus with high-level blessing in the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name, let it be done right now by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. All right. Y'all, I think that's it for the night. That's all that has a hand up. So I guess we're going to call it a night. Thank you for being with us. And what a great night tonight we've had. It is Wednesday night. Tomorrow's Thursday. We'll be taking communion. We'll be praying over offerings, of course, as they come in. So thank you for that already in advance. Thank you, Jesus, for being a blessing. Your people are a blessing to you, God. Thank you for opening up the windows of heaven with information and bringing forth that information, God, to recover all. I'm giving a word for somebody right now. God says you're going to recover all. Amen. Recovering all, like David did. He recovered all and more. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Recovering all. All right, 402-650, I already prayed over you. I see you got your hand up there because you thought I missed you, but I didn't. I prayed over you earlier. I don't even know where you're at in line, but I prayed over you already. Okay. All right. I did it already. I prayed for you. Thank God you are alive and well, awake and full of energy. But 402-650, I prayed over you earlier. So thank you for trying to make sure you got in there. We did get you. Even if people don't answer the phone, I pray with them anyway. As most people know, I don't just go to the next person and pray over you. Even though most of them, I don't know who they are. Sometimes I check them out to see if I know who they are. And yeah, so all that. Anyway, all right, blessings to everyone. Thank you for being with us. Thanks for, being a blessing to PGN and having such a great spirit about you, being friendly and kind and generous with your love and knowing that God is doing things. And that we're here to walk in the love realm. We want to walk in love toward all people, toward all situations. And God is teaching us how to do that. We're learning how to grow in every area, how to eat right, drink our water, so we don't get dehydrated spiritually and physically. Yes, in Jesus' name. And fellowship with God, bring healing to people, bring deliverance to people, in whatever fashion or form that we can do that. Amen. Through the word of the Lord. Information from heaven is everything. Amen. All right. I'm going to call it a night tonight, y'all. Thank you so much. God bless everybody. We will talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.